like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Around 3 p.m., when your blood sugar and energy are low, some say Robert Goulet appears and messes with your stuff.
They're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to know if any of your guests used their bicycles to go to and from work, and then I could hang up and listen to the answer.
Holy
cannolis.
Wow.
And people wonder why we're reluctant to take phone calls. You know, I mean, the calls have actually been getting better recently. Hopefully it's not anybody who's too stupid or abusive. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Okay.
I've been an avid cycler for most of my life. And I remember when I was a kid during the Koch administration, they tried implementing bicycle paths.
Oh?
So the Koch administration had the political will to do something like this.
Well, that was Ed Koch. It was a dynamic personality, and it wasn't him alone, because he did have Councilman Robert Spiewak as an ally for you guys, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He had a nice German-made unicycle that he actually rode around the council chambers.
Wow. Indeed. My goodness.
He rode his unicycle around yelling, "I have bloody stools." And then he farted.
Well, the part of it is true.
What, the Koch did put in this infrastructure?
Yeah.
Maybe another caller can shed some more light on this situation. You're on the air.
Hi, I just want to follow up that caller who was a little obnoxious, but it's true that under Koch they did put those lanes in.
What about the unicycle in the city council?
I don't know anything about that.
I think that's his fevered imagination.
Yeah.
He started out pretty good.
I'm Jim Nance, and welcome to Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials 2007.
No way.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah.
You'd be a chick.
I'd love to hear that again.
You'd be a chick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
You bet. And let me see, Joe Ardinger, are you back here on this good-looking Monday, Joe? Joe? Turn the music down. Joe?
Yes?
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
That's the way to say hi to Joe in the back room. Oh, here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Judges! Don and Mike Show, everybody. And it's Speaking Monday after the Super Bowl Sunday. Mike is creaming his hands.
Hi, everybody.
I'm giving you the phone number now, 877-365-3636. I guess we'll do a quick rewind on Friday's show before we get to the Super Bowl and everything involved there. And also, hey, let's say hello. But why say hello when you can say hola to the tiny city, the beautiful city, right there in the bosom of New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, we're on in Albuquerque today.
Hi. Today.
We're on in Albuquerque for a little while.
You got it right, Mike.
Hi, Albuquerque.
96.3 FM.
Oh, we're on an FM stick.
The Buzzard. We got kicked off the radio in Albuquerque about 5 years ago. And
yes.
You remember that, don't you, Senior?
Yes, I do.
Glad to be back. Want to say hi to our number one fan in Albuquerque, Gloria. Hope she's listening. And the show will be heard 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. New Mexico time.
Delightful.
So let's welcome Albuquerque back on KZBU.
Gorgeous state.
FM 96.3. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Howdy.
How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you Amateurs doing there?
Hey, wait a minute. What's wrong with that phone?
We can hardly hear you. And Rob, the screen needs to be cleared out. You see that the stuff is not coming up on the computer.
Hello, you guys!
I hated it.
Love you too. Thank you.
Thanks. Peace out, bud.
All right, bye bye. That's weed.
You know that smell from before? Definitely weed.
Definitely weed.
Sounds like our first call from South Florida.
Hey, Joe. Are you back there, Joe? Joe, can you speak up?
Yes. Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
That's great.
That's George, everybody.
Being congratulated by Nancy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, how are you doing today?
Howdy, my friend. What's up?
Hey, listen, I was watching the Super Bowl yesterday, waiting for on the fourth quarter for that knucklehead that was on the show last week that said he was going to talk to his wife or whatever.
No, absolutely. All right, let's start there before we get to
what a loser that guy is.
Friday show.
Whatever happened? He never did come on, did he?
Well, here's the update as far as we know. Now, we had this guy on our show last week at some point, and he said that he had found a client.
Said he was between two clients. He was negotiating between two clients.
Right. Excuse me one moment. Right. Not the way to start a hangover-free Monday post-Super Bowl broadcast. Well, what are you doing?
I'm getting you his blog so you can explain what happened, at least what he did.
We'll gloss by it at this point.
Okay. All right.
We just put everything back, please?
I shall.
At the ready. Let's just give Rob a moment to put everything back.
And there it is.
There you go. Very nice. Thank you. Hold on. That goes there.
Yes, it does.
That goes there. That goes there.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Good. Good guy. Now go sit back in the room. This is not Friday. It's not going to be a love fest for you today. I'm not drunk today. So, anywho,
I have a food hangover today. Does that count? A lot of people. I really do.
Here basically is the update on this guy, and we will read from his blog later. I think we've been had, and the guy
that sucks.
The guy was on the show the week before the Super Bowl, promoting a website that had been in the Sporting News and Entertainment Weekly, saying that he wanted to propose to his chick in a commercial during the Super Bowl.
Right.
He said that he had found a client that was going to buy the time.
Said it was between two clients. That's what I thought was a little hinky, that he had had one leading up to this, and then now there was another one that was bidding. Were they in some kind of bidding war or something like that?
Yes, and he even said that he had filmed one of the commercials in advance.
That didn't make a lot of sense.
The whole thing smelled queer to us, but we went, what the hell?
I didn't think the guy was lying, so I'm like, hey, if it's on, it's on. And we really didn't really care that much.
Right. So I'm sure, hey, are you still there on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Dude, I'm sure you were like us. At some point yesterday, you're watching the game, but
I know it was fourth quarter. He had mentioned fourth quarter, so actually during a pretty lame TV commercial day, I was kind of looking forward to the beginning of the fourth quarter to say, all right, here it comes.
You're waiting for it. And
a lot of people were waiting for that.
And it never showed. And the update is, rather than we read you from his blog, it's better just to hear it from blog's mouth. Because you spoke to, I don't want to say this guy's secretary, but his
people. Remember, he was all excited that a PR firm was handling his stuff.
Handler. Yeah, right.
Well, now his handler is rather tight-lipped. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what happened? He said, well, it didn't air. I said, well, by his blog, am I to believe that somewhere during the game, CBS just backed out? He said, that's about it.
Because that's what the guy, in essence, what the guy has on his blog today is
that is crap. CBS, oh, wait, it gets CBS better.
We work in radio and we know it doesn't work
CBS
that way.
CBS pulled the spot. Not true. And also not true because they don't walk away from $2.5 million.
Of course they don't. Right. And those things are etched in stone a month before.
I asked his handler, I said, can you reveal who the client that was to pay who they were? He said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and we're to believe that now instead of a national Super Bowl buy, he's instead going to do a local buy on the show Veronica Mars on the CW.
Wow,
and
really?
He said, that is true. I said, we'd love to speak to him. He said, we'll pass your interview request along. We're no longer handling him.
Oh. So we're chasing him, and we are trying to get to the bottom of this faker story.
Yeah. Now, the guy that you talked to in his alleged, and I should emphasize, alleged PR firm, did he appear hinky to you?
I think the PR firm was genuine at the time. They have a website. They have future stuff they want to do with us. So I think
there is a PR firm
So the PR firm, in essence, got scammed by this guy as well.
That's my feeling.
Mm. Okay, well, see, that's better than hearing it from one of us reading from a blog. And we are gonna stay on this guy to see if he'll come back on the air with us, right?
This is pretty weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, I was thinking we should sleuth this guy out, find out what the real deal is. And then I'm realizing maybe this is his strategy, that so many people are going to be upset about it that people are going to want to track this guy down, and he's going to get even more exposure.
Here's the question, though. What type of media exposure did he get besides being on this stupid show?
I mean, he was on a lot of other shows, wasn't he?
Associated Press, Good Morning America, New York Daily News. He did pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, see, because I know you guys are like me. If we got scammed, who cares?
Right. It's not that big a deal.
But if one of those other shows got scammed, well, maybe we should pile on then.
Sure.
Let's jump on.
God damn, we're offended by that.
Let's get together with Diane Sawyer and, track this guy down and kind of hunt him like a dog.
Absolutely. Let's go to Iraq with Randy Cross. Let's go to Baghdad with Randy Cross. Can you imagine, getting back to the Super Bowl broadcast yesterday, being one of our working guys or gals in Iraq, put your life on the line.
Right.
Super Bowl Sunday, and the best we can send is that big horse face Randy Cross.
Very sad. Very, very sad. They should have done better for our men and women in uniform.
And I noticed many of the soldiers standing behind him in the shot when they were waving home were wearing CBS Super Bowl shirts that had been signed by only one person.
Randy Cross. So they got that going for them. I didn't know that. I didn't see that part.
Oh,
was that a part of the free game? I tuned out about an hour into the...
He could have shot a missile at his teeth, for God's sakes.
Came back just in time to watch the fabulous Cirque du Soleil pregame show.
Now listen, hold on.
Jesus.
That was super.
Oh, that is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
You mean that you didn't like the referees on the ostriches and the sexuality of the Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy's going up and down on the swing?
And the fact that they're all carrying kites. Running around with kites. Yes, sir. Running around haphazardly. Like, there's no rhyme or reason.
And it was raining.
I was
supposed to learn about Benjamin Franklin and discovering, what did Benjamin Franklin discover?
Electricity.
Thank you.
It wasn't as good as the halftime show.
No.
Oh, he was good.
And they both had their press conferences.
He was super.
He was good.
Hello.
He's a star.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Or as Regis called him today, the Prince.
The Prince.
The Prince.
Did Regis appear, could he appear any more out of touch in that discussion?
Than he did today.
The Prince. Yeah, he's hot. Right?
Everyone likes him, right? Right, Kelly?
The Prince.
The Prince. Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike show, what's up?
Hola, welcome back to Albuquerque.
Hey, well, there you go. It's about time, only 5 years later, and hola, right. Habla funny? That should be the motto for the Don and Mike show for this current tour of Albuquerque.
You're goddamn right. I made in my pants when I heard you guys were coming back this morning.
No, that's, right. Hey, now that's the kind of reaction we want.
Glad to hear it. Thank you, my friend. Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Don. Mike.
Yeah, how?
Hey, Mike, I got to give you credit. You held it together Friday. It was a great show. And, Mike, did you finish the cigar?
Oh, the cigar. What cigar?
The Opus.
That was Don. Don had a cigar.
Well, I meant Don.
Oh. Don, did you finish your cigar? I didn't have a cigar.
No, I know. You kept it together during the show.
You're confused. Wait a minute, sir, but you're confused because Don did smoke the cigar.
Right. Don smoked the Opus. You held it together. I guess you're certified, full-fledged.
What, alcoholic?
Alcoholic.
Well, you said it.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for mentioning it. I knew you had to defend yourself there, so I'll accept it now. Yeah, that's good.
I was really
on the verge of saying it myself. It sounds so much better when I say it. You know, it's so sad coming from somebody else.
It sounds so much sincere.
I told Mike before the show today, we were talking about what happened on Friday, and I remember a large portion of it.
Sure. I think both of us remembered everything.
And Mike said to me something like, God, we were talking to him, he said, you really lose your ability to talk, you lose your motor coordination when you're really hammered. And I said, yeah. And I said, you know, the thing is, when we got into the car, Janet said to me, you know, when she first walked in the studio, if she hadn't known in advance that Mike had been drinking for 3+ hours, he could have pulled it off just like that.
And it's the same way that I've been fooling all of you for 20 years.
Every day.
Nobody ever knows. You can't tell right now, can you?
No, not at all.
I had a wicked, wicked, wicked highway.
I was going to say you remember a large portion of Friday. Do you remember putting your coat on?
No.
Upside down? Three times?
No.
No. You were having some trouble towards the end of the program.
I think about 6:45 I checked out.
I can't imagine.
The last thing I do remember is my girlfriend showing up.
Right. I remember that, too, and I remember saying, you do look like him at Benny.
So this show Friday was a good show.
We kept going. as I can recall. Buzz and I and Jacob and
Karina,
and John Norman came in for a little after-dinner drink.
I do not know how you possibly could do that.
I got home about 12:30.
I can tell you what, I mean, it screwed up my weekend.
Really?
But not because I was hungover, but because it screwed with restful sleep. I was so effed
up. Sure did.
I was so effed up when we got in the car, showing like a 10 till 7 on Friday night. I was watching the clock in the car, 7:03, I was sleeping. Next thing I know, my girlfriend says, we're at home.
We're home.
I said, good. I'm going to go upstairs and get cleaned up. I'll see you in a minute.
Cleaned up.
That
is funny. That just sounds a little gross. You know, you go get cleaned up like
that. Yeah, heavy drinking.
It's just something to go get cleaned up.
I woke up at 4 a.m.
Right. Wow. Oh, you mean you went up to get cleaned up and you woke up at 4 a.m.?
I woke up. I was in my clothes. Oh, she was laying in bed next to me, but I was in my clothes. And I woke up and it was like that.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I'm like, what time is it? 4 a.m. God damn, I'm tired. I mean, I'm not tired. I mean, I'm tired. I should be tired. I'm wide awake. Am I hungover? Oh, my breath tastes awful. Oh, just awful. So, and at this point, I'm just saying all of this out loud,
right?
Hoping that she wakes up. So, of course, she does wake up. And I said, I'm not going to believe this. I said, just laying here in bed, I've not moved a bone yet. I don't feel hungover.
Right.
I said, maybe I'm tired, but God damn, it's 4 a.m. I said, I am wide awake.
Your pattern is all disrupted.
It's weird. I said, what did I do last night? She said, what'd you do? You came home, you got into bed. You went to sleep. I came up and tried to wake you up.
So as soon as you walked in the door, you went to sleep?
That was it.
That might have been helpful for me.
Done. Gone. But it wasn't sleep. It was that pass out stuff. You know, it was just like, gone. So 4:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, I'm downstairs making coffee, waiting for the goddamn newspaper to show up like a mental patient.
So you were up like for good?
Ruined my entire day.
Wow. I can imagine, because when did it hit you then later? When did you crash? 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, like about 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that. But it was bright sunshine outside, and I said I did not feel like I had a hangover.
Good.
I just felt incredibly tired.
I think I went to sleep at 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. I'm not sure. And then I was awake at 6:30, and so was my 9-year-old, and you can't fake it, you know, with a 9-year-old. You're up, and that's it.
Right.
And you know, just kind of in and out all day.
I don't know how you could do it, man.
So, well, I hardly did, and even a trip to Costco, which was just hell. Pure hell. Where, of course, that was the trip to Costco where I had to run into eight or nine people I knew, which I had gone I'd shaved, brushed my teeth, run a brush through my hair, but outside of that, I had not ducked into the shower since the Friday show. So I was just sitting there. I know I was faking it, and I'm like, oh, hi, how are you?
Isn't it almost time
good to see you.
Isn't it almost time for Sexy Buzz to once again say that absinthe never gives him a hangover?
I woke up, I got to bed about 11:30 or 12, I think Friday night.
Right.
And I was plenty drunk my own self.
No.
I woke up on my own without an alarm at 6:30, felt great, was up all day, had a great day, great weekend.
Well, Liam, I'm telling you, my weekend was ruined until like Saturday at 5 o'clock. I finally,
you didn't even feel at all.
Finally woke up.
No.
During the day, sleep deprived at all?
No, not at all.
You left earlier than I did.
You left earlier.
An
hour, maybe.
And Jacob stayed a little, or I guess he left right after you did.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hey, and speaking of the Jacob, not that I certainly want it, but where's my goddamn absinthe? I do remember making a very large bet with him.
You can have that Oliva.
He'll pay off.
Here we go.
I believe he owes you 10 bottles.
Here we go. Here's an email. Hi, Rob. Thank you for having us on the show again. Extend my very heartfelt thank you to Don and Mike. I hope they had as good a time as I did. From the reviews of the show I have read online, it seems to have been very well received. You are all very kind. Where's the part? Oh, here we go. Looks like I lost out on that bet with Don big time. I've already directed my shipping department to send out the bottles on their way ASAP with a congratulatory letter I typed out with 2 minutes still to go. Thank you again. Can we do this again in November?
In November.
Your friends, Jacob and Karina.
Yeah, I think we have to do it in November.
Oh, yeah. For goodness sake.
I think it's twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Maybe before November.
What do they call that? Biannual?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do it triannually.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Jesus Christ. That was
I don't think we could survive that.
Once was enough for me. Jesus. I was really, really out of control when we got in the car.
You were hysterical.
I was so paranoid when we got into the car. I said to Janet, said, really seriously, I said, you've never seen me like this. This is like if I was at a party. I said, God, this is awful. I must have said something today that I shouldn't have said. She said, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I said, I said, God, it had to be an awful show. I screwed the pooch. I said,
no.
All I remember, and this is just what I was giving her before I passed out like at 7:04. I said, God, here's all I remember was I told you to take a leak in front of everybody. And then I know that Jim Nance was on the telephone and I made some stupid bet with the guy about.
Did you speak to Jim Nance personally or Rob, did you speak to him?
Don't know. I just remember.
Rob,
Jim
what
Nance.
Happened?
Yeah.
Oh. Did Don speak to him?
Oh, dear.
Don't remember a lot myself, Mike. As far as I can remember, I can remember.
Yeah. What did you say to him?
Hi, Jim.
It's the only thing I'm worried about.
Like, I love you.
I love you. That would follow.
And I was not that good. That was about 5 o'clock, right?
All I know is that I remember Jim Nance wasn't going to come on the show.
Because we were bombed.
Because we were too bombed.
Hey, guys.
Right.
Might hurt the image, guys.
Listen, if I come on the show, that means I might want to talk about the rain.
So I was sitting in the car with Janet for like the 7 minutes before I passed out,
right.
Just saying to her, did you listen? And she said, yes, but I was getting my hair done or whatever. I'm like, God damn it, woman. I asked you to listen. And I remember very distinctly saying that. And she said, I thought you told me not to listen to the show. And I said, no, you had to listen to today.
You went to a level at about 5:15. You hit your level.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
don't even remember it.
You didn't get any worse. You were bad. By 5:15, you were done. But then when you were done,
right on.
You hung in there for the entire show.
You plateaued.
I remember saying, if you're like this at 5:15, that like we're gonna have a Sambuca show, that you're going to, you know, make out with Rob or something like that, or you're going to vomit on the control room.
Right.
You got to 5:15 and you were fine.
Well, good for
and
me.
And for
then.
Some particular
good
reason,
for me.
Either it's the way he was mixing it or that I stayed away from the other stuff, I was good and buzzed,
right.
But I was my stomach felt bad more than I felt buzzed.
Really?
I didn't take it well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really
that.
Didn't take it well.
I've never been that effed up. I mean, I've done shows before, you know, back in the day, like AM radio, right. When it would be, you know, we're here with alcohol awareness. I'm going to take one drink every 15 minutes to show how your reflex is going to be
right.
Screwed up. I mean, God.
Well, I've done a lot more of those shows because you would always mind the helm when I would be doing it.
My head was just spinning.
Pretty good stuff, isn't it?
Spinning.
But you didn't get sick.
No.
See?
Did not get sick.
Maybe what he says is right. And you woke up at 4... Well, you did have a hangover, and I did, too. I had a terrible hangover.
Yeah, but it was a sleep hangover, not so much a...
No, mine was a booze hangover.
A booze, but you added to it, right?
You added
later that night?
Beer.
How could you... God.
That's amazing.
Do you know...
No shots, though.
Good for you.
No shots at all.
Good discipline.
It was absinthe and beer, and they were both green.
My last name is Power. My first name is Will. I will tell you that on Saturday, I had nothing to drink.
Good. That's probably good.
Did you have something on Sunday?
During the game last night?
Sure.
You bet your ass.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I didn't touch a drop for Saturday or Sunday.
Back to the old standards. Back to vodka.
No, I didn't touch booze.
Hello, vodka, my friend.
No, absolutely. I had no more. I don't think anybody did. I don't think anybody that came to the house did. It was oh, God. I didn't even want to think about booze for 2 full days. And tonight, of course, I'll be drinking heavily. Tonight, of course, I'll be playing my When Jack Says, Raises His Voice game.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Look, it took me a long time to understand that if you want to do this job well, you have to stay detached. If you can accept that, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Don and Mike?
Hey, you're on with us. What's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
I just want to let you know, Friday's show is awesome. You guys are hilarious. But I really had a question if which type of the absinthe at the website that you guys prefer the most?
The type that gets you more effed up.
Don't we still like the 1792?
1792, no question about it.
1792?
Is that what we like, Buzz?
Right.
Okay, you got it. That's what we like.
Absinthium, right? Isn't that what it's called?
No, no. Oh, 1792, absinthe. That's all you need to know.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I'd just like for you to rest assured you're not an alcoholic.
Wow. Really? Well, tell me why.
You're just a drunk.
Oh, that's right. You said that before, haven't you? Or somebody said that before.
If you were an alcoholic, you'd have to go to those meetings.
That's it. Exactly.
Thank you.
See? Thank you. Somebody else said, I think maybe a good friend of mine said that to me. I think my friend D said that to me, the other D.
Who was it?
My friend Demetrius said that. I think we're not alcoholics, we're drunks.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Baby.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Very well, thank you.
I'm talking to you from somebody else's cell phone. Because I found it, and so I decided to call the great Don and Mike.
The phone call that the phone call you're making.
What the hell
right
is
now,
he talking about?
Okay, hold on. I see the area code on caller ID is 209.
Yeah, I don't care.
What?
Hold on, sir.
What area code are you in then?
Where are you calling from?
I'm in area code 209.
And where is that, Modesto?
What? Man, I don't want to give it completely.
Well, no, I mean, it's not like you're going to get caught. What town are you calling from?
Stockton.
Ah.
California. Where did you find the phone?
I found it when I was going to get something to eat.
So you're having the pleasure of making a long-distance call to our show, or are you calling the 800 number?
Yeah, and I'm glad you kept me on hold for a long time, because I want to use up a lot of minutes.
Of course you do, because you have a personal knowledge of the person who owned the cell phone, or you're just from Stockton?
No, I just found
just
it.
From Stockton.
You know,
you're just from Stockton, and you hate everybody.
You'd be a chick.
I'm just the common riffraff that you find in Stockton.
Are you going to make any effort to give the guy back his phone?
Nah.
This is absolutely a personality profile.
Where did you find the phone?
I found it in a parking lot, and once I'm done, of course...
Hey, hold on. Does it have a... of course they all do. Does it have a camera in it? Well, why did you do that thing like they used to do with the toothbrush?
Yes. take a picture of your junk.
Take a picture of the phone.
Between two pillows.
Right.
Well, you can't really do that.
You take a picture of inside the guy's butt with the camera.
What I should do? Should I just dump it in the trash when I'm done with it?
No. Take some pictures of your genitals with a picture phone, and then call the guy up and say, "I found your phone."
and do that. And do you have a? Does the phone have any speed dials on it?
Yeah, it does.
Like the number 2 speed dial should be somebody he calls regularly.
Now.
Yeah, I don't want to call him.
Hold on.
What?
See, that's where you could have the most fun. Like, let's say it showed up that it said line number 2, you hit speed dial, it just had the name, like it does on my phone, we just have the name Mike.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't have your number, it just has your name. So what if you just pick it up, you call up the guy, and you go, "Hey, Mike." And he would see that you would think it's me, because it would show up on your phone.
Right.
Don, or my number would show up, right?
Right,
you just go, "Okay, hey, Mike." You're an F and D.
And hang up right away so he can't figure out who it was.
Right. Until he looks at the caller ID.
And then he knows it's that guy.
And he's going to think it's that guy.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe if he gets his phone back, he'll be a regular caller to the Don and Mike show when he sees this number on there.
Put that in speed dial.
Or perhaps.
That's a really good thought.
Or perhaps you could do the Christian thing. I'm thinking now of Tony Dungy. What would Tony Dungy do?
I tell you what.
You know what Tony Dungy would do first? He would plop some of those blackheads. And that's no pun intended now.
This is Robert the Mailman.
I know he's a black man with a black head, but he's got blackheads. What would Tony do?
Or they might be moles.
I think they're blackheads.
Isn't he too old to have a skin problem?
I'm surprised.
Well, then they're like Morgan Freeman.
They're Morgan
bumps.
Freeman's moles.
Yes. Bumps. Oh, yes. Either way,
you could pop them.
Well, anyway,
Tony would say, "You handle that." Like he's
not listening to anything we're saying.
Do you remember in the olden days the big ass Holiday Inn keys?
Right.
You would get that at a big plastic thing that said, "Drop in any mailbox to be returned to Holiday Inn." Do that, friend. Take some pictures of your genitals and then just drop that phone in a mailbox. That's the Christian thing to do.
Then that's exactly what I'll do.
Are you telling us the truth?
Of course. Well, I mean, if there was any way I could prove it to you,
swear that you're telling the truth. Swear on something.
I swear on my mother's life.
Is your mother alive?
No.
It's wheezy. Sticky Dick.
You know, we have now 8,000 people calling from this area code who have lost their cell phones. I'm not kidding. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Here's one of the many. Hello, Eric. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy, Eric. You're calling from Northern California?
Yes, I am.
You lose your cell phone?
Yes, I lost my cell phone this morning. Area code 209.
Right.
What are the first? What are the, right now, hey, hold on.
Don't give it out.
Hey, come on, dummy. You can't give out the number.
Got to remember the town we're dealing with now.
Can I say something to Eric?
Now, why don't you settle down for a second while we talk to this guy?
All right.
Eric?
Sure.
Eric, the numbers you were giving don't match the numbers this guy's calling from.
Oh, man. You got me.
Were you just lying?
No, I wasn't telling the truth.
No, Mike, he wasn't lying. He just wasn't telling the truth.
Now, I really should point out, when we play a game like this with Stockton, Modesto, Chico, the evil ones are going to be calling now.
No.
Jag off.
Hold on a second. The second guy, Eric.
Eric, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you lying or not?
No.
Now, who's the guy that said jag?
Me, that jag off.
Hold the phone.
What did you say, sir? Eric, what did you say?
That's the guy that stole the phone calling me a jag-off.
Well, Eric, but I mean, you're really not helping anyone here.
No way.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
See, you're really, Eric, you're just like the guy that stole the phone.
One of you guys said that you, in fact, were lying about this.
And it was Eric.
I got some pictures for you, Eric.
Yes, that was me.
So, Eric, you are lying. You never did lose your cell phone.
No.
But you know what? I think you guys ought to hook up.
That's definitely true.
I think you guys are the same mindset, and I think really you ought to get together. You both probably would have a good time.
He could receive.
Oh, sure feels good not to be the gayest guy in the room for once.
End of that.
You know what I had this morning?
I think that was Eric Estrada who got thrown off the air from that stupid TV show.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
Freaking jag off. Yeah. I got some pictures for you, Eric. I wish this was your phone.
Pictures. Right.
You can give me a call at 209.
Hey, don't. No, Eric. I got to hang up on both of you, for goodness sakes. Bye.
Bye.
You should have. She made magnificent judgment there.
Hello. Don and Mike. Hello there.
Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hi there. What's up?
Good. Hey, how many drinks do you guys think you had of your absence? A piece.
I think he said I had something like 5 shots.
Right. But we were drinking out of a pint glass, though.
Yeah, but it's pint glass with a ton of water.
Mixed with water. It's supposed to be mixed with water. It's the only way to drink it.
I would have no idea how much I had to drink.
Right. So you just take, like, one shot into the pint glass and drizzle it over a sugar cube. Get the water over a sugar cube, right?
Right, exactly.
Didn't we go through all of this in the first break on Friday show?
A third of it. What's your print?
It's on our website, RegisandKelly.com. Go to the cooking part of our website, the recipe part.
All right, well, I'm just saying, I've been inspired because I bought the absinthe before because of you guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Are you calling from Stockton?
Good story.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
This, I know, is between Don, Mike, and Buzz. Almost the entire bottle was polished on. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's 140 proof.
Like, it's not that much left.
Killed the bottle. Yes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
No big thing.
Hello. Hi, this is Al and Modesto.
Yes, hi, Al. What's happening?
I have an idea.
Oh, great.
Hey. Sorry, you know what? That is just as bad as whatnot.
Al's Modesto idea has been vetoed.
Don't you know we don't like ideas on this show? We know it all. We knew it all before the show started. We'll know it all when the show ends.
So, great apologies out to Al in Modesto.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Modesto, California.
Molested, California. I like rape. Molesto.
Molesto.
That would be my name if I was a clown. Hey, kid.
Molesto.
I'm Molesto.
Here comes Molesto.
Hey, kid.
They'll never suspect that.
Hi, Johnny.
Why is the clown smoking a cigarette? It's Molesto the clown. That's worse than Pennywise. Yeah. Evil.
Hello there. This is the Don and Mike show. You are...
Part of Northern California, calling from.
Oh.
on your show the other day that you're leaving after 18 months. What's going to happen?
The world is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is before September of 2008, when our contract is up, run up your credit cards as high as you want.
Actually, we're both actually moving out west to form the new Molesto Bible Church. Should be fun, I'm sure. Obviously, you don't want to respond to that, do you?
Hello. There goes another person we could have touched, Mike.
From Idaho.
And that's,
I pictured a snowbound.
That is our motto at the Molesto Social Club.
Molesto Bible Church.
We'll touch you.
It's on the sign out front.
And we'll touch you in the
picture
place.
Of you and me like this, looking quizzically, though, going like this. No, it's like this will be the line.
We'll touch you in the place of all the heart. And you doing that thing again with your hands.
Yes. The hands, man.
Right, well, we live. We are alive. We made it through Friday's show. Made it through the Super Bowl.
We did.
For goodness sakes, we've not even talked about the Super Bowl yet.
Mm-mm.
Hey, guys.
Boo.
Guys, Jim Nance here, guys.
No need to really mention the fact that sheets of rain are scouring Miami.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance, and welcome to Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials 2007.
Last night.
And that bet, incidentally, the commercials, that bet is now, for the American people, officially off.
Yeah.
You can put it to rest.
I feel so bad for anybody that bought a brand new high-def set for the game, only because CBS doesn't wipe off the lens.
And the CBS announcers choose not to mention the weather because they're afraid to.
Right.
I'm sorry, I have to say it.
Sheets of rain last night. Maybe, in some regards, the greatest Super Bowl ever, because you've never seen a Super Bowl played in awful bad weather. Sheets of rain coming down. Five fumbles. And the whole time, they're like going, it must be nerves.
They were amazing. Right. I really pictured during the commercial breaks that Phil Simms was saying to Jim Nance, Gene, is there a chance if I mentioned Gene the rain that the commissioner will get mad at me, Jim?
Hey, guys, it's always sunny in Florida.
I don't understand. We can't mention it. Okay, I won't say a word if you won't say a word.
Right. Guys.
Because what I'd like to say is there's rain all over him.
And how many times would they go to a shot of just the regular basic shot of Peyton Manning or whatever his name, Grossman, leaning over. And you want someone to say, wipe off the lens.
Yes.
Yeah. Wipe off. How tough is it to wipe? Isn't it one of the first things we use?
Five turnovers, pretty unprecedented for a Super Bowl. Can't imagine why. It's raining! Open your eyes up, Phil!
If you don't have a rag, do what we did when we were kids. Use your hand. Wipe. You gotta wipe.
Right.
You gotta wipe, kids.
That's right. You know, it's a little weather problem. And now, it's the third quarter. I'm thinking, Gene, that I'm gonna say that he might be a tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny little bit affected by the weather. Can I say that maybe, please? Jesus.
Always right. Sunny here in Florida. Sheets of rain tonight. Not going to mention it, though. I'm Jim Nance. Rob thinks I've done something to my hair.
I do. John Madden would have been saying, get a close-up of the guy's pants that are soaked all the way through on the sideline.
Right. Yeah.
They were all drenched.
Couldn't be wetter. It was great. I thought it was a great way to watch a game. Like I said, I wish they would have wiped a little bit. That would have made it easier.
I wish they would have wiped and mentioned it, because really I thought the rain was the main factor in the game. It was the main reason for all the turnovers. And for some reason, listen, we're going to ignore it. That's the strategy. Mm-hmm. If we dwell on it, that'll put the Super Bowl in a bad light. Let's get right to those commercials.
And how about those commercials?
How about it's no longer a story. No, who's going to care about the commercials?
Please, right. P.U. stink, go to hell, all of you stupid products out there.
And now here's a message from somebody that's got so much money they can absolutely burn it. And, you know, somebody pointed out to me, for the Ford Motor Company,
right,
who is laying off and closing how many plants and doing all that, they still pumped right in with all that money. For their standard, let's show the diagram of the car.
Well, let's break it. We'll come back and we'll get into all of this.
But right.
Just the one thing that, God, I'm not trying to be a last word freak, and I promise you're going to have the last word here. CareerBuilder.com. I was planning on building my next career with you. I am not. You know why? Because I love monkeys. I love monkeys lighting cigars with $100 bills. I love monkeys holding up flowcharts upside down.
Yeah.
I love monkeys holding the spotlighter thing.
Laser pointer.
I don't like seeing people like in a Survivor set coming out with office clips all over their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be building my next career through you.
Oh, no. That's a shame.
However, I am going to be living on GoDaddyGut.com.
Of course. Because you like their marketing department? Everybody.
That's a commercial that made me want to go and find GoDaddy who killed Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Go and kill Daddy.
Go and kill.
And the obligatory, you know, and I think really I read in some survey, duh, the winning commercial is the Budweiser one with the crabs.
No, it wasn't.
The
winning one was the one with the mouse.
Oh, well, that was pretty good.
The Blockbuster one, I believe, was voted the best.
They all suck. The Dalmatian?
Yeah. Hey, the one that I truly liked was the Snickers commercial.
I liked the Snickers. That made me laugh.
Kind of gay, like a Lady on the Tramp thing with the guys with the Snickers bar. Also,
that was a tie to me with the slapping, when they slapped each other. That's replaced the fist butt.
Because
I like the pure gratuitous violence of it.
And the Snickers bar kind of looked like, you know, like a floater.
Uh-huh.
And those guys had it in their mouth.
That's what they're
rooting for. See, there we go again.
It's all about the butt, isn't it?
There we go again. See,
all about the butt.
I didn't look at it that way at all.
That's what I said to Janet at the Hawaii home. I didn't talk about the butt, did I? For goodness sake.
Constantly. And I did like the Coca-Cola animated one, which tested very well.
I'd seen that one before. I hadn't seen that one during some other game.
What I liked about it is because I play a lot of those violent video games. It has that amazing, Grand Theft Auto start to it.
Yeah.
And then I love the transition. I thought it was hysterical.
But I heard that they've been airing that in movie theaters already.
Oh, really?
So it's like 4 months old.
Okay. Mm. All right. So it doesn't count.
And I guess that we're past that whole trend with people doing commercials. Because the commercials that were made by people generally sucked ass.
Yeah. I think all the commercials, really, for the spotlight and for all the media attention they get, I thought they were a complete letdown. A total letdown.
And don't forget, if you want to see the commercials again, they're on our website right now. Hey, get site. Just show up.
Show up and get on your knees, please.
Thank you. Oh, God,
CBS, thanks you.
It's all coming back to me now.
Sure.
The worst part of the entire Super Bowl experience was during the pregame show. Did anybody besides me happen to hear Stevie Nicks attempting to sing Stand Back?
No.
If anybody has the audio.
No. Was she there?
Yes. I swear to Christ, she was like on a...
During the Cirque du Soleil show?
It was before that. She was out in the parking lot.
All right.
If you got a tape of her, the real tape of her singing, and you played it and said this was someone auditioning for American Idol who got voted off the show, I'm serious, you would laugh at her. It was like, stand back, stand back. And I'm not putting on the tone deaf thing. I am tone deaf, but, and that is also my rap name.
Right.
How you doing? Tone deaf with you. I am tone deaf. She was awful. You didn't see that?
No, was too busy paying attention to the light drizzle falling in Miami. Not going to affect play in any way. Certainly not going to put a damper on the Super Bowl, where in the third quarter, half the people had left.
And that Cirque du Soleil thing,
horrible,
before the Super Bowl, that was almost 10 minutes of valuable TV time.
You'll never get back.
First off, what a waste for the poor schmucks who were in the stands, because what choice do you have?
Right.
You're sitting in a rainy plastic seat watching a bunch of fruits down there riding their big, gigantic, erotic giraffes around.
They've never gone with my idea of a complete nude review.
Not yet.
Well, thank you, Janet. Once again, thank you, Janet Jackson.
That sucked. The Cirque du Soleil sucked. I thought Prince was outstanding, but I thought it was also unfair that nobody mentioned the fact. Again, you're right, Mike. They avoid the fact that it was raining.
Nobody gives Prince props for really appearing for a while to stay amazingly dry.
Yeah, and how about Prince coming out with an electric guitar, and I know he's grounded and everything. He's grounded, guys.
He's a solidly grounded guy.
Right. Or how about like the dad on... what's his name? Alan Thicke?
Oh, that's... Mike, you're grounded. Prince, you're grounded.
But he had big-ass stiletto shoes on.
And he was wearing... he was actually wireless, but really playing. How often do you see that?
Never. And what a great set. And in the...
Well, phenomenal set.
And in the pouring rain. I mean, pouring rain. And they do not make a mention of it.
No. Pretty amazing. What a great performance in the beautiful weather here in Miami. Prince... No rain. Phil, don't say it. We're going to get scolded. We will get scolded if we mention the rain because we're broadcasters.
And what was the deal with the passing the buck? that, did you notice they kept saying Prince produced by the NFL Network? Yeah. As if to say, hey, guys, it's CBS here.
I remember when Pete Rozelle wrote Let's Go Crazy.
You know, if Prince does something crazy, like Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, that's produced by the NFL Network, right. Not produced by CBS.
Right. The following broadcast is only authorized by the USSR Football League.
And I think what you're seeing here is that they're not just...
Oh, hold on. Here's Bob Schieffer. This is great. Bob Schieffer.
And I think what you're seeing here is that they're not just great black coaches. These are great football coaches.
I want to talk to you about some of the kind of the dark side, as it were, of football, because this is this great success story that the NFL has had.
See, get it?
The dark side of football.
Man. Get it? Bob.
Choice of word.
Oh, Bob. Bob Schieffer. Bob Schieffer, the racist.
Yeah. Twist. I think they're twisting my words.
Oh, indeed. All right. Well, we'll, we got all the indeeds, too, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Talking about JB, Dan, Shannon, and Boomer, over to you.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much. A memorable commercial, indeed. Of course, everyone knows that Joe Green is a Hall of Famer.
Poor JB.
That was on the commercial special.
Oh.
Poor JB.
A memorable commercial, indeed.
He had the indeeds, and he had the folks going like crazy yesterday.
A criminal omission of weather observations, indeed.
Well, I know we'll be speaking to JB. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl picture. You know, on Friday, here's a couple of things that I know we did not get to. We never got to our Harry Potter or Vince Lombardi bit.
Yes.
Both which are still time sensitive that we could do today.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I know that we started to listen to the horse audio.
Right.
We did not listen to the entire...
No.
The entire playlist, did we?
No, we didn't. In fact, we didn't get to anything.
We forgot. Well, where is that, for goodness sakes? Where is my horse sex tape?
We're checking.
There you go. You got it, John?
I'm locating it now.
Okay. Come on.
Why he pointed.
I think it offends Rob's sensibilities.
Here it is now.
I think it's not fair to the horse.
Let's put it in.
I know these. I remember so from Friday these people sounded nerd-like.
I think we only heard the very beginning of it, and then we never went back to it.
And they were nerdy.
Documentary, right?
They're what do you call them, like zoologists?
Zoophiles.
That's what they say.
Did eventually meet Ken, who shares her sexual preference.
And the music's disturbing.
A couple handfuls of that smaller stuff. Okay. I was technically a virgin until I was 29 years old. I was a zoophile up until then, and I just basically didn't have much interest in other members of my own species as far as a life bond or anything.
Now, who would have rather have seen that as opposed to Cirque du Soleil yesterday?
Of course. I'd tell you, I'd watch it, and then I'd watch the guy go be taken off to prison.
It's a good tie-in with the Colts.
All right, so we'll get to the horse relations tape. You know what was good yesterday, and is not getting a lot of play? Was that little promo that they had with Letterman and Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah. Very funny moment.
Hilarious.
Nobody didn't like that.
It was like a 10-second throwaway with Letterman wearing
it. As good as that Letterman was going all the way with eating with the food in his mouth.
I was very surprised to see Oprah Winfrey in on the gag.
Yes, I like that they did that. That was fantastic.
Isn't that right, Oprah?
We have it?
Oprah, hold on. Oprah?
What you want to do is grow up and get yourself some good white folks. You want to get good white folks like me.
That's what you did yesterday.
You want the Bears, and I want the Colts, but we both win because we're in love.
Honey, don't talk with your mouth full.
I'm sorry.
We both wink as we're in love.
That was great.
That's 6 seconds of magic.
Yeah, really, out of how many hours of programming?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Let me see. ESPN started at 11 a.m.
Yeah, I think at about 2:30, I bailed out and watched a movie.
Wow.
Because I just couldn't stand it.
Good
it was so inane.
Good for you.
Good for you.
I went to a movie as well this weekend. Smoke and Aces. Good. You know, I was bitching saying there's no good movies out. Go see that movie. That movie kicks some ass.
Smoking Aces.
With Jeremy Piven and Andy Garcia and Ben Affleck, who gets a lot of notoriety. He gets his name right up front. Really, he's only in the movie for maybe the first 10 minutes.
Cool.
And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody who's seen it. Ben Affleck gives his best acting performance after he's already dead in the movie.
Wow. See, there's a little trick. Something that, to look for.
That makes it all worthwhile.
You're dying to reveal the ending, I think.
Oh, Mike, it's one of those, I don't even really remember the ending. It's one of those that goes in 25 different directions where you finally go, oh, that's why they did the flashback on that guy, and that's why the guy pulled the key out there, and that's why the guy went past him and the other thing. Oh, it's kind of like Ocean's 11. It's not really like Ocean's 11. Oh, everybody's dead. Oh, I see.
Very similar to the last movie I went to see in a theater.
Which is?
The Queen.
Okay, we got a break. You do that thing in your hands again.
Felt appropriate.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Oh, that's my baby grandson. He's my favorite person in the world.
That's because he hasn't met me yet. My favorite person is my sister, Laura. It used to be Jared from the Subway commercials, but I thought he got too preachy.
Well, you know, family is the most important thing in life. It's who you are.
That is so wise.
Well, that's just what comes with being 70.
No, you're not. There is no way you are 70. You look too young.
Oh, well, thank you. Now you really are my most favorite person in the world.
Oh, now that you're closer, I can tell you're old.
You little bitch.
The Don and Mike Show. Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity.
Right.
With Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's our names, so we're about high Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, I was going to see if you guys saw the commercial for the Super Bowl. I think it was, it might have been even the first one, so a lot of people didn't catch it. It was the rock, paper, scissors for Budweiser, and the guy threw the rock at his head.
Love that.
Yeah. No, you did. Did you really buzz?
I did. I liked the rock. I liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't love any of them. I've had commercials in the past that I actually thought were hysterically funny.
I thought it was like a litmus test.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commercials.
I'm sure it is. None take.
No offense, Buzz.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you thought that was funny. You don't know funny.
I didn't think. Did you think there was anyone that was absolutely fracturingly funny?
The Snickers one made me laugh.
Make you laugh is one thing. I'm talking about, you know, go back and watch it 10 times.
No, not like Stevie Nicks. And we do have that video as well. Oh, and plus, at some point, I'd love to talk about, I got a call late in the game from a guy who was out in Las Vegas who had bet the over-under,
right?
And the over-under, you understand what that is, everybody, right? That the number was 47.5.
That's how many points the line on how many points will be scored in the game, right?
Right, and you either bet that both teams together will score over 47.5
mm-hmm.
or under 47.5.
And depending on the teams and the situation and the circumstances, the odds depend on that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a high-scoring game, you think, oh, I'll go over 48. Anyway, this guy had bet under.
Look, you think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, right. He bet under because all of the money was going on over,
right?
And he called me. He was too drunk to be in the room that he was in Las Vegas. They kicked him out of the room where he was watching the end of the game because the Colts were winning by 46, or the combined score was 46.
Getting a little boisterous, was he?
Well, the Colts were going down in the last 2 minutes of the game, going down to get a field goal.
Right.
If they got a field goal, it would screw up the over-under.
So, in other words, counting on the classiness of Tony Dungy?
He was.
That's good.
And he was screaming about it, and they kicked him out of the room, and he called me up, and I'm like, what's going on? And he was trying to explain this over-under thing to me. And
I got it right, because I don't bet on sports, but it sounds like the way we're explaining it is accurate.
Oh, no, he explained it to me. That's exactly what you're saying.
That's all it is, right? And do the odds depend on how... Is there any significance in getting closer to the under?
No.
If they score 1 point and you bet the under, you're fine.
And he told me that's why they put a half in there, so there could be no push.
Right, okay.
It was 47.5, so either you would win or you would lose.
Gotcha.
Okay. He ended up being a big fat winner, and good for him. Here we go.
Even money?
What?
Did that just pay even money?
He got, I think he told me, either 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
He made a lot of dough on that bet.
Wow.
Here we go from the pregame show. This is Stevie Nicks doing Stand Back. Now, the quality is off the computer, so bear with me. But really,
I didn't see this yesterday.
Listen to this and tell me if I'm overreacting. I heard it, and I thought it sounded like American Idol.
Poll today on CBS Sports is presented by Pizza Hut.
And welcome back, everyone.
Hi, JB.
Here on the Super Bowl today, we've had an outstanding time here outside of Dolphin Stadium as a part of the NFL experience. And now we're inside to our on-field set. Now, while we make our move,
while we go inside,
to introduce
Please listen to Big Fat Stevie Nicks.
She'll be touring this spring with Chris Isaac, but you can...
No, I don't want to comment on her appearance.
She performs her hit song.
Just listen to...
Is she fat?
Fatter than she was. She needs to go back and do some more coke. Now, at this point, the band sounds like a regular band. Backup band. Wait till she gets the stand back. I'm terribly embarrassed. This sounds a lot better than it did on TV.
Does it really?
Yeah.
It really sounds fine to me.
Well, that's why I'm feeling stupid right now.
There we go. Well, I know. I'll tell you exactly what's happening.
See, that's off key.
No, it's not. Say exactly what's happening.
How can it not be off key?
It's your audio. What's happening now? Her harmonies. She doesn't sing the harmonies. She doesn't sing the high parts on that. And what you're hearing is her harmony line, and you're not hearing the rest of the audio coming from wherever it's coming from, either the background singers or whoever's singing that with her. So when she goes, she's supposed to just go, stand back, stand back. See, she's on key on everything else.
Maybe it was just a stand back part.
It does sound like crap because they didn't pipe in the other vocals.
Oh, where's the stand back part? Now I'm terribly embarrassed.
Also, don't you think she sounds on key up until that part?
No, but even on my TV, she didn't sound on key yesterday.
I can say it's a bad mix, but everyone agreed on it, even the boss.
There we go. Hold on.
You don't hear her background singers at all.
All right, maybe it was just me. Sorry about that.
No scrappy audio.
Well, that's like Cirque du Soleil. It's a couple minutes you never get back.
There were other great audio things. Like, did you see when Brian Urlacher was interviewed right before the game and the mic dropped?
God, mic went out.
And you got the entire interview. I mean, it was a brief interview, like maybe 30 seconds. And then at the end, it's like, yep, so that's the way I feel. Thank you, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
We're going to leave you on camera, even though we don't have audio, guys.
You're right. Sorry about that.
Might be the rain.
That did sound awful when I heard it yesterday. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, man, now that Peyton Manning actually has a ring, do you still want a thing in your mouth?
Oh, I want to slurp him. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was all your Friday show. Buzz had to keep going on break because he kept mentioning that.
I don't remember that. Well, Don took perhaps his love for Peyton Manning almost too far at one point, and I just said, we'll be right back. And we broke.
I don't recall.
I don't remember that
part. Took it to the next level.
Wow, I guess I was loaded too. That was at the height of it, yeah.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what'd you guys think about Billy Joel?
I thought Billy Joel
horrible or what?
No, I thought Billy Joel was great.
Yeah, that's
really
live.
I thought he sounded horrible. And Don, congratulations on your big win, your absence. Enjoy it.
Like I remember even making the bet. Thank you, my friend. If those bottles show up, I'll give them away. What the hell?
Because you're never drinking that again?
Well, not until the next time we do our show. Our absence show.
Good, right.
God, that was some nasty stuff.
It is powerful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's you.
Did you catch what JB said? About get ready for the game against the Colts versus the Dolphins when he went to go talk to Dan Marino.
Well, now we can spend all day nitpicking JB.
Yeah, seriously, I was thinking it borders on elite overpaid sportscaster abuse with those guys. How many hours are they on the air?
He was on like 4.5 hours before the game yesterday.
Right. Yeah. They did his first cut in at noon, though, and he went till 6.
Jesus, he made a mistake. Yeah, come on.
Well, they did the post-game show, too, right?
If we're going to make fun of him, let's get how many times he said folks in Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Do we have those?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, and Mike. Howdy.
Yeah, hey, Mike. I wanted to find out what happened to Katie Couric. Her hair looked like a mop, like somebody hit her with a truck.
Now, are we talking about Katie Couric on the promos? He's hung up to listen to your answer on the air.
Now, there's so many things to criticize.
We should criticize the things that deserve to be criticized.
She and Nance went to the same hairdresser.
Katie Couric's Oh, boy.
Well, Jim Nance, in fairness to him, Rob, was also, he wouldn't tell you this, but he happened to be standing out in the rain.
That doesn't make your hair.
Hey, guys, it's a secret, Mike. Katie Couric, really, the more I look at her, she was made for low def.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Hey, they did talk about the weather just briefly and said, I think that Jimmy failed meteorology class. It was just a brief, right in the first quarter.
No, you're right. There was and not to say that they didn't mention it. They occasionally would mention something like, hey, the rain is either picking up or the rain seems to have stopped a little bit. Right. And
doesn't seem to be affecting play.
This guy is right at the very beginning. Phil Simms did say something to Nancy, like, I saw you looking at your computer with a Doppler radar, and you said all of this rain was moving away.
That's when Jim Nance said, I was not. Damn it, Phil. Why did you say that?
God damn it,
I'm
Phil.
Staring at it. Look at the front. Miami's engulfed in showers.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
Damn it, it's going to be raining all night. Heavily, I should say, but don't mention it.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Great show on Friday.
Thanks.
Hey, whatever happened to that douchebag that wanted to propose to his future wife?
A lot of people are asking that question today, sir, and we covered that at the beginning of the show.
We don't really know.
He was tragically killed.
We don't.
Let's say that.
We don't really know.
The wife was a man.
Right.
We're trying to get the guy to come back on the show. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
What's up, man? I don't remember a Super Bowl ever having this many network spots. It's like CBS this, CBS that. Did you guys see that?
It was pretty loaded with promos. Yeah. They all
CSI.
Do that.
Yeah. There was a lot of promos. Sure did make me love David Spade even more than I love him already, huh?
And Tom Shales says it's the feel-good hit of the season.
Yeah.
He did. Tom Shales didn't pan that one.
Do you know that?
You can also see the steam rising off the page when you read Tom Shales' review.
Also, at some point yesterday, I found myself... you ever catch yourself like this in a situation, at a social function... Well, I end up defending David Spade because it's like he's on all the time, and I say something like, God, look at that jerk off, and he's on TV. His act is so unfunny. And then as soon as Janet said, you're right, I said, hey, hold on a second. And I went and I got out my collector's edition of Tommy Boy that has an entire disc of just David Spade and Chris Farley goofing around.
Oh, okay. You mean Tommy Boy, the only thing that David Spade was ever funny in.
Right.
And even in that, he was a straight man.
I'm standing up in front of my, I'm like everybody, I got that thing, you pull out the drawer that's full of DVDs, and I'm standing there just
collector's edition of
with
Tommy
Janet,
Boy.
And that's exactly what she said. I said, you see what this is? He was great in this. And she said, what is that? I said, I look at the box, I go, I don't have my glasses on, I hold it back like an old man, I go, collector's edition Tommy Boy, Holy Schnikes edition.
But once again, who said Holy Schnikes? All right, the funny
Farley.
One. It's Farley.
But Spade, call a Spade, good in that film.
Great straight man.
But
it?
What would be better for comedy in general? If
Chris Farley
started has had exploded or
all day,
David Mike. Spade's head had exploded?
All day.
Yeah.
I'll take Farley's heart over Spade's head all day.
And David Spade has been playing that that character for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And I laughed at the promos. I thought the selections were reasonably funny until I saw it for the eighth time in a row.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The one part that did resonate with me where he says... They say, what are you going to do tonight?
That's it. I love that.
I don't know. I'm going to do whatever I want. Forever.
No, all the time.
That's it. All the time.
I'm going to go do whatever I want. All
the
time.
That was such a...
That sounded like something an eighth grader would have said, and I laughed out loud at that.
Sounds like something a guy talking to a married guy would say as well. Hello, Donna, my show. It hit a note with you as well, didn't it, friend?
It did. It was funny. It's like... Okay, well, you guys, I'm going to go do whatever I want all the time.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike? How y'all doing up there?
Howdy, yo.
Anyway, did you catch that KFAN commercial?
Yep.
Pretty funny. I don't know why the fast food people were getting all upset about it.
Well, it was funny. The thing that they blew it is they released it too early. Mm. It got on the internet. Everybody knew that was coming. If that had been a surprise... That would have been, actually, that probably would have been one of the best commercials.
Could have been the greatest one.
Yep.
Could have been the greatest one. Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, K-Fed.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
What?
I was going to be working there, working at a fast food restaurant after 18 months anyway, so.
That we can only hope. And I think that's part of the attraction of the commercial, is that not only do you say, hey, he's got a great sense of humor for poking fun at himself, but you also say, boy, I really hope he does end up working there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I have a question. They always have those weird bets about the Super Bowl, and I'm wondering if there were, if anybody knows the odds about the first run back on the kickoff.
I'm sure you can bet on that, can't you?
Astronomical
odds, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really wanted to, if you were stupid, don't turn those things off. If you were stupid, you could bet on the coin flip.
Sure. Yep. And the I mean, do you think it would be in there? That, I'd like to know that. You know, they do that more in England than they do over here. But if it was in there, it would be like what, 1,000 to 1?
Odds had to be an astronomical. First time ever.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever.
Ever.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don. It's been a long time. This is Jamie Lee Curtis saying I'll still do it all the way to Stevie Nicks.
Thank you. That's Jamie Lee Curtis, the hermaphrodite, checking in, Mike.
She's her voice has gotten so much lower.
Hello, Donna, Mike's show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay, what's up?
I'm good.
I was wondering if you saw the Boomer Esiason playing golf with the caveman from the Geico commercial.
No, Robbie says it was Phil Simms, and no, I didn't see it. Did you see it, Mike?
I didn't see it.
Very funny. No.
Phil Simms playing golf with cavemen?
Yeah. It
was right. I think they rubbed off on him a little bit.
Which one played Phil Simms?
We all just paused there because we want to be nice to old Phil. He's been on the show a few times.
Come on, he's stiff.
He was stiff.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi.
Did you guys hear?
And yours is like that always.
Always. Blue Steel Cat couldn't scratch it. God, I'm turgid. Hello.
When they showed David Spade and those other two guys from his new TV show,
yeah.
Did you catch the comment that either, I don't know if it was Sims or Nance said?
Oh, you know what that is? That's dumb jock speak, and he's speaking the truth. He said they have crappy seats because the show's not a hit.
Right.
They're not in a box. They're sitting out in the rain because the show's not a hit. Yeah.
And they probably, I mean, wouldn't David Spade strike you as the kind of guy that doesn't really want to go to the game?
Yeah. I read somewhere, was it on Ain't It Cool or whatever, some website this morning, that David Spade made a big deal. He left in the middle of the third quarter, right, and that CBS was not pleased that he had these
really
prime seats, and they were going to go back to another shot of him later, yeah, and they maybe even wanted him on the postgame show, and they said, where is he? And they said, he was tired. And he was wet, so he left.
Sure. Well, he was like, I guess, two-thirds of the stadium, because I noticed in the fourth quarter that almost half, it looked like, of the stadium had emptied out. There wasn't anybody there, because, these people, how many, what would you, you know, if you had to break down a percentage of real, true fans that get tickets to the Super Bowl, there aren't as many partisans as you would think. This is a big corporate event, right?
Yeah, very small number. A very small number.
The social event.
People like us, booger eaters like us.
Yeah. And, or the people like from the big companies that are there. Oh, darling, I ate too much at the buffet, and I don't want to be wet anymore. Let's go back to the hotel. All right, dear.
I don't want to be wet anymore.
I don't want to be wet anymore.
I'm wet. I'm so wet.
I'm wet through and through.
I'm wet. I'm turgid. I'm Don. He's Mike. Here's commercials.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nice shot. So, what are we playing for?
Well, let's just have a little fun.
Just have fun? What is this, youth soccer?
All right, $10 a hole.
Fine with me. Hope you got 180 bucks. So you doing that all metal men club thing again this year?
You mean the all iron team? Yeah, I'm doing it along with Jim Nance.
Nance.
You know Jim?
I never met him. So who's on the team?
Just watch the show.
Dude, don't be like that. And give me a name. One name.
All right, Brady.
Tom Brady? A bit of a cliche, isn't it?
It's about difference makers. Who else am I going to put on the show?
Oprah Winfrey.
Difference makers in the NFL.
Watch the tone, Phil. Okay? You don't want to get me all fired up right before I tee off. Believe me. It's going to be a little weird for me because I'm used to playing from the tips.
Well, if you want to play from the backs, let's go back here. I'll play for
you. No. I want you to have fun.
Somebody on the radio.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to find that one.
That's because I'm playing golf, Phil.
My woods are actually made of wood. You're standing over there with some crazy space-age neutron stick.
It's a metal wood.
It's suspect.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Living in a scratch-and-dent world, Don and Mike.
Tell me about it, please. Somebody. You got JB on the phone?
Yes, my name.
All right, here he is, everybody. Still down in Miami?
Yeah, he is. He's in his hotel.
Ah, in his hotel. Just get rid of some stress, some post-Super Bowl stress. Here is our main man from the NFL Today on CBS, the great JB.
After his 30-hour work day.
JB!
It is so wonderful to talk to guys I consider my on-air English teachers. And Don and Mike, let me tell you, yesterday, each time that the word indeed or folks even thought about coming off my lips, I wanted so badly to preface for the 100 million people watching, Don and Mike are critiquing this, and the only reason I didn't is because the president of all of CBS Inc. was up there.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, probably wouldn't have understood the reference, though, but I had you guys very much in mind. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine, nine folks and one indeed. We're doing very well, thank you. Here is JB from the Super Bowl broadcast yesterday.
Only one indeed.
Only one indeed.
That's incredible. And he was on the air for so long.
And nine folks. Here we go.
All right. Are you,
thank you, JB.
We're going to play.
All right, folks, still ahead. Folks, we are pleased to know what. All right, folks. All right, folks. Folks, we are now. All right, folks. Hey, folks. All right, folks. By the way, from South Florida, folks, and I know that you've got a very touching story indeed.
That's it.
You know what, JB? For a Super Bowl broadcast.
I think that's outstanding.
I speak for everyone. That's perfectly acceptable. Nine folks and one indeed.
I think you did fine, JB.
If I could only give Rob a compliment, you have guys, Rob, TiVo the show, and go over 6 hours of the pregame show and let it down to those nine indeed and one folks or whatever it was. Unbelievable.
JB, before we ask you about the game and your thoughts and everything that happened, I noticed yesterday you threw out a lot of shouts to your friends. Like when you had Leslie Visser on, you mentioned, I think, Boston College. And at one point, I saw you just throw in a plug for an eye doctor.
Oh, that's right. I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Why did you, like, out of the blue say, hey, I want to say hi to Saul Rabinowitz, who's a great guy who fixed my eyes today. Now back to you, Shannon. What was up with your eyes?
Hey, Don and Mike, how smooth was that transition?
You must really love that guy.
You know what? Only because, hey, Don and Mike, I had what I thought was some debris in my left eye that was irritating the daylights out of me. Couldn't sleep on Friday night. Actually, that was Thursday night. Made an emergency appointment with this doctor, Ira Levine, down here in Hollywood, Florida.
Ira Levine.
You know, that's unusual, JB, because you don't get a lot of Jewish eye doctors down in Florida.
No, not down here in Florida. Of course not.
Well, I would be glad to take care of James Brown, but I heard he passed away recently. Oh, that James Brown.
Well, of course. I would be more than willing to see the broadcaster if he can make sure to just throw in a small mention for me at the right before the game starts.
So what was the deal with your eye, JB?
Did he fix it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he gave me a medication prescription for some cortisone drops and some other eye lubricant. It really did help the scratches to subside. And let me tell you something, I really do owe him an awful lot for that. Now, I was a little concerned because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to see a Dr. Ira Levine, and I go into the office, and, yeah, it was populated with what you would expect in the way of patients there.
Yeah, 90-year-old guys, right?
I'm the only tall licorice stick walking into the office. Hey, Don and Mike, and I go in. Should I have been upset that he had pork chops on the table there for me?
Indeed.
You know, I was wondering yesterday watching you guys. I was curious about your work day on Super Bowl Sunday because we were talking about how long you were on the air. I mean, you had a little brief post game show, and then you had all the stuff beforehand. How long was your work day on Super Bowl Sunday?
We had punch in. We got picked up at 8:15 that morning over to the compound, if you will, at 9 o'clock. We did a couple of inserts for, like, whatever shows there were. sets that we were doing at like 11:30. We did one at 12 and 12:30. Jim Nance, Phil Simms, and Dan Marino did Face the Nation. We finally got on the set to do our own thing from 2 o'clock forward, and as you guys mentioned, didn't get off to 10:30, but hey, it's fun. Once I was telling Rob, we did everything the week leading up to it, but focus on the telecast between appearances and interviews, and it's all good. I'm not complaining, but I'm so anal about being prepared and wanting to try to do a good job. I would have done well just staying in a hotel room to study and be ready.
JB, as we watched the game yesterday, we all had one thought that for whatever reason, during the game broadcast itself, there wasn't a lot of mention of the fact that it was raining like holy sin. And at one point, I think Nancy said, you know, I got five fumbles. What's up with that? It must be the nerves.
I was screaming yesterday at the television, just going, it's raining, it's raining. It didn't seem to be a big story. You know, you probably read a little bit about that today, that people were talking about that.
In your opinion, you were there. How hard
was it raining?
You
mentioned it, actually, when it was coming back, when you went to halftime, it was one of the first things you said, and I just was kind of it was just unusual that it really wasn't dwelled on. I'm not sure why they didn't make that a focal point of the game coverage.
And that, you know what, I'm still smiling that you might call him Nancy.
Yeah, well, you know, we wondered if it was something she came up with or if it was something that the network told her to do.
It almost sounded suspicious.
I would tend to doubt that the network told him, because during the pregame show, one of the things that was underscored emphatically with me was to make sure that you mentioned that the biggest topic thus far is the weather. And this is the first Super Bowl that was played in what at times was, in fact, a torrential downpour, for sure. So I'm surprised that it would not have been mentioned. Hey, what else do you account for all of the turnovers, especially four in one quarter?
And, JB, I know it's not your job, and you do the pregame show, and you do an outstanding job. Did you mention to somebody at CBS, if it's raining, to wipe off the lens?
There were a few blurry cameras
now,
there. Yeah.
On the other hand, let's talk about how great Prince was. Let's really talk about what a kick-ass that was.
With the conditions, too, I think one of the best halftime shows I've ever seen.
JB, the question that we all had, was he was out there, again, like everybody, in the pouring rain. What type of setup did he have? Because he was obviously playing the guitar. He was not fake playing the guitar. He was real singing in the freaking pouring rain. How great was Prince, and how did they do all that?
Prince was simply awesome, and give the credit to the crew that had everything set up. Now, I would defer to you guys being in the business more than me. As I went out there, I've got to be honest, I was looking up to see if there was any kind of canopy over the top. Clearly, there wasn't. It was definitely pouring down rain. You would never have known it by how focused he was on what he was doing. This clearly was a huge, literally and figuratively, stage for him to perform on, and I think he hit a home run. Now,
oh, absolutely.
I went back into the green room to sit down with my colleagues. I told them, I guess I'll have to go to church now. And they said, why? I said, well, you know what? I was out there rocking to Prince like I was 19 years old and knew every word to every lyric that there was. Prince did an awesome job. Dan Marino wanted to make certain that I stood there with him to take in the Prince concert, and we both were tapping our feet to it. He did an excellent job.
He's fantastic. And your thoughts on the game? I liked it because it was close, and with 5 minutes to go, the Bears still could have come back. Mike thought it was kind of a blowout and got a little bored with it.
You know, even with the score being close, JB, I think as a fan, I was kind of sitting there. Everybody kind of, you had that feeling it was Indy's game, even though the game was close, and that might have had something to do with the fact that Chicago didn't get the ball that often.
And you know, you're both right from a standpoint. I think Jim Nance did call it right. As much as Indianapolis was in control, it was still a close game. Selfishly, all we ever hope for is at least a competitive for a game as opposed to a blowout. If it's a blowout, clearly that hurts in terms of viewership. So I was happy from that standpoint, but I got to be honest. While I did not say this very much publicly, I was really pulling for Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning. I wanted to see him win for all the right reasons, and I'm thrilled for him.
Amen to that. Last thing I want to ask you about, JB, because I do have high definition, and I watch you guys in high def, I couldn't help but notice, you know, we all work for CBS in some regard here, and it's a cheap freaking company. When you guys were both outside and inside the stadium, you had these little, what appeared to be TV monitors behind you that would have the logos of whatever company was schlepping that particular segment. And it looked to me like they were put together with cardboard and like with adhesive tape. that those were not actually monitors behind you, that they were just mock-ups of monitors. I know that this is talk about being anal and nobody cares about
but
that.
But you sit 5 inches from the TV screen, so that's legit.
Were those fake monitors or not?
You guys are some of the most observant people
I've ever. Give Don credit on this one, JB. I didn't notice this.
I don't want the credit. It's an idiotic thing.
Don is absolutely correct. It was, in fact, like a placard that had...
You made him happy.
CBS. Either painted. I just hope that it wasn't paper mache. I never touched it. I don't know whether it was paper mache, but I would trust and like to think that at least was some nice metal design that might have had some paint on it. But you're right. It was not a monitor.
And why wouldn't you eat pizza, for goodness sakes, when they had Boomer out doing what comes naturally? They had Boomer out handing out pizza to the crowd. At one point, they come back to JB, and you would not even let the pizza near you, my man.
Well, you look like you've lost a little weight, JB. You really do. Have you lost some weight?
Oh, what did you see it in the left side of my chair?
Well, you know, if you haven't lost weight, whoever's making your suits is doing a killer job, man. I got to tell you.
Hey, you know what? Matter of fact, my wife went out to Everett Hall's shop there on Wisconsin Avenue and bought 4 or 5 nice outfits, and I need to go back home and have them taken in because they definitely were blooming so as not to show the extra poundage.
It looks good. Looks good. Very good.
One more thing, JB. What about the event that you did with your buddy Howie Long down there?
I had a good time with Big Boy. You know what? It's a shame to be working with a pretty face like him. Boy, he really is an awesome talent. And, hey, Don and Mike, it was so nice to see him again. It was like we hadn't missed a beat. It was a real nice dog and pony show, much like the energy and the synergy that you two have. It was wonderful doing this GM event for all the Cadillac dealers around the country, and I had a great time with Howie. He's all over it.
Very good. Well, JB, we really appreciate your time. Are you going to get some to take some time off now before you get all worked up in the Final Four stuff again?
There is a college alum, one of my mentors, who's got and you don't call an 80-foot vehicle or what do you call it, a watercraft. You don't call that a boat. You call that a yacht. Is that correct?
There you go.
Correct,
you going to get some time, a little R&R?
We're heading over there now to hang out with Barry Lindy, and I'm thoroughly enjoying. You know what? I can't wait to get on this 80-foot. To me, it's a boat. To everybody else, it's a yacht.
Right. There you go.
Will you take your shirt off?
Hey, now, yeah, no, please. I don't want to.
You got him.
Okay. JB, God bless you. You were great yesterday.
And we really appreciate, during the season, you know, you've been so generous to us with your time during the year. We really do appreciate that.
What a great guy.
And you both know I love you guys very much. I can't wait to get back home and see you guys. Have a good one, too.
See you this summer. Thank you, JB.
Have fun. Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Right, man, the great James Brown from Miami. Get ready to go out on that fancy boat tonight.
Don't you like to hear that answer? That's the kind of answer you want. You know, hey, after you've been doing it, you know, I mean, he works hard and he travels all over the country. And now he's going on an 80-foot yacht. I like that.
Hey, guys, I'm Jim Nance. I'm not going out on a yacht.
I don't spend any downtime at all, guys.
I'm going to La Jolla next weekend, guys.
Non-stop for me. Now, what would I do on a yacht? Have fun? Me and my buddy Phil are going to have half a glass of red wine, retire, and then I've got, a 5 a.m. flight that takes me out to La Jolla where I do my prep for the golf team.
Oh, hey, Joe Ardinger. Oh, boy, that thing is loud in the back room. Joe?
Yes? Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Thank you, Jim.
I love that. I do love that.
All right, thank you, the great JB from CBS.
That's great. You really got total silence when you asked him. He's going to take his shirt off.
Baby.
Yes, Don and Mike, I will take my shirt off.
Okay, Jesse Jackson. That was very Jesse Jackson-ish.
I just think, yes, I'm taking it off. I'm going to go on the big bad boat.
Well, that's progress. That is excitement. It's one of those huge moments. You think about the impact Denzel Washington has had.
This is the story about a big boat. I certainly hope that boat floats.
Talking about JB, Dan, Shannon, and Boomer, over to you.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much. A memorable commercial indeed. And of course, everyone knows that Joe Green is a Hall of Famer.
Thank you, Jim. I feel your pain. I just wish you could have mentioned the rain.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius. I like the way that rolls out. Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Coyote.
Super Genius.
The Don and Mike Show.
You know their act. The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
What you want to do is grow up and get yourself some good white folks. You want to get good white folks like me.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
What about you, Paris? Paris?
I got
I understand.
Wow. We'll listen to the horse tape.
The horse love tape.
Speaking of horse tape, did you read the story about Ron Jeremy and Paris Hilton over the weekend?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was wondering whether you caught that one, that he showed it to her.
Got it somewhere in there. Yeah. Got that story. Yes, as a matter of fact, add the horse, video
that
we didn't watch during our absinthe show.
The horse video with the disturbing music.
We will watch that. We will listen to that in a couple of seconds.
It's scary.
Chris Hansen. Where is he? Chris Hansen?
I'll Just Be Your Secret Lover.
From Dateline's Predator Show will be calling us here in a couple of seconds.
Oh, good.
To promote his new one on tomorrow night. Awful time slot. Although I think maybe American Idol is now on at 9 o'clock, not at 8 o'clock.
I think it is 9 o'clock. I hope it's on at 9 o'clock.
I don't know if Predator's family fun anyway.
Yeah.
Should it really be in the safe harbor time? Or should it be out of the safe harbor time? Buzz, what's the safe harbor time?
It doesn't exist anymore. It used to be the first hour of prime time. So in the East Coast, it would be 8 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, all right.
Been done away with.
Chris Hansen coming on the show. We'll play all of our tapes for him. Ask him if he knows what a super success he is that we call phone whores with his tape.
And I wonder if he is surprised that, you know, that just keeps going and going. I mean, that show is everybody knows about that show now, yet the hits keep coming. He still gets those Predators.
Yep, a bunch of repeat offenders on the brand new season of the Predator show.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were talking about the Super Bowl commercials before, Mike, you and I both said that I said that the Blockbuster commercial did the best in the overnight reaction of people.
Refresh my memory. The Blockbuster commercial was
the one where you have the rabbit.
Yeah, okay, and rubbing
the mouse.
The mouse, right.
And you said that you had read that the Budweiser one.
Yeah, with the crabs.
Was the best. And it
tested very well.
There is now more than one Super Bowl ad-o-meter.
Ah, I see, okay.
So we now have four different surveys of Americans about which ones they liked and didn't like.
And I believe this is all part of the hype machine.
Yeah.
I think this is all this, you know, I read somewhere where now it's not as fun anymore because now it's become big business. It's such a big deal with the Super Bowl ads, and they put so much money into it. And I think they almost like you market for Academy Award nominations. You've got the same thing with the Super Bowl ads.
So it seems to me we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 different polls that we pulled up today. And if I put them all together, let's just go through the worst ones.
Okay.
The ones that universally people did not like in every single poll.
Very good.
Okay. The worst are Taco Bell, the Lions talking like Ricardo Montalban.
Been there, done that, been done before, boring.
GoDaddy.com. I mentioned I wanted to kill Daddy after I saw those.
Right. And hasn't that type of commercial been done before, too?
Revlon, Sheryl Crow sings new song.
Mm, boring.
Right.
I don't even remember.
Okay,
not fade away.
Chevy. The robot that gets fired and thinks about offing himself.
Yeah, not funny.
Not good. And the GPS navigator during the paper versus the paper map monster.
That could not have sucked enough.
What was my favorite?
I disagree.
You liked that commercial?
What was that old-time TV show that it was loosely based on? It
looked like Ultraman.
Ultraman.
It was for the Garmin system or Charmin system.
Hold on, but before you look at both of us in that kind of voice.
No, I'd say I sense some of the comic bookishness. That's why you like
it. Do you remember
that.
The show Ultraman?
No.
When we were kids, I know we've discussed this before.
Okay.
Japanese show.
Right.
Real.
Kind of like a speed racer type show?
Except
live
real
action.
Life, except real life. Where,
right.
Where you had the guy in the Ultraman suit, I believe it was a red and silver suit.
Was there some yellow in it, too?
So
you guys are saying you liked it because it had a little nostalgia factor.
It evokes Ultraman.
It was just like Ultraman. And what Ultraman was just an actor wearing a spacesuit.
Right.
Like walking on a set with model trains.
Right.
And picking up like toy boats.
Ultraman.
Yes.
And all right, so now I understand why you guys liked it.
Little Japanese boy would say, look, It is Ultraman.
Ultraman. Well, as always, he remembers more than I do.
Right.
That seems to be one that I like.
I think that was my favorite of the whole broadcast.
That didn't fly. Let me see.
It was also early when I was more sober, so I understood.
And then you got some of these that are on both lists, of course. The Doritos Checkout Girl, that's either really good or really bad.
I didn't think that was bad. I actually laughed at that the first time I saw it.
And then here we go from the Harris. They do the polls, right?
Yes.
All right. This is actually a pretty interesting one. The best tasting spot out of the entire Super Bowl broadcast was Letterman with Oprah.
Mm. And best great testing, you mean? That was the best testing one that
yeah,
they had?
Yeah, I say best tasting.
Yes. Tasting. That
best
too.
Best tasting.
Tastes great, less filling.
Delicious.
I liked Oprah. That's just Letterman being goofy. Who doesn't like that?
And the one, according to Harris' poll, that people hated the most was CareerBuilder.com.
That's interesting. I mean, I didn't think that was the most hated. I thought the one I hated the most was, well, I've seen it a million times too, was the Honda commercial.
Let me see the other ones that they've got here. The Budweiser Dalmatian commercial.
Haven't they done that bit?
Yeah.
They've done the Dalmatian bit before.
Yeah, and
He gets mud on him and he has spots. Duh.
And then what else is there? Bud Light, the Rock, Paper, Scissors. We mentioned that one.
That was, it was new, it was fresh, it wasn't bad.
But I'm like a lot of people. It reminded me of the one last year where the guy says, hey, my cell phone has theft protection. Yeah. And he goes, well,
right. He throws it at his head.
Throws it right at his head.
Right.
So there you go. That's the latest. That's what everyone's talking about today.
Are we in agreement that, since they've been talking about the Super Bowl ads, that this was the worst year ever?
I think so.
I don't think there's any competition for that. I think it was going away the worst year ever. They're all safe. They're all not trying to be offensive.
Well, you know what is the proof in the pudding? The fact that we don't have any tapes of any commercials. Like
right.
There's no what's up. There's no. I mean, right. Not one of these.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, "C's are not allowed in this house."
Right. We don't have any tapes like that. We don't have.
Arr! Right.
Any tapes like that. We don't have. Any tapes like that.
Now the bride who was disappointed in her hair. That would have been a funny commercial.
You'd be a jackass.
Mel Blanc, if he was still alive, yes. Coming back from the grave. Well, they did it with Orville Redenbacher.
Thank goodness that spot wasn't on last night, Mike.
I know that. The one that where the it's scary. You're scared to buy the popcorn now.
Now, if you want to sell a product, you could not get away with this in this climate we live in now.
I know. Isn't it a shame?
But I want to tell you, I'm going to show you a picture here that we're going to put up on our website. And this picture is NSFW.
Uh-oh.
Not safe for weenies.
Okay.
It is Denise Richards, and it is Denise Richards' beautiful vagine.
Really?
She's on a beach, and she's wearing a pair of shorty cutoff jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pay no mind, Mike, to the fat load that's sitting next to her.
Okay.
Richie Zambora. First, take a look, and then I'll show you the blown-up version. Just look at her crotch.
Yeah, it's upper left-hand corner.
That is Denise Richards.
Oh, my.
Hold on. Now, through the magic of our computer, we pointed and clicked, and take a look at that.
Oh, loverly.
Yeah.
Loverly.
Ain't that something?
Wow. Richie Sambora not looking too good in the sun. Wow.
Doesn't her fold of skin that is showing look like it could be a fold from his body?
Yes,
hers is from between her left and right leg.
Right. Very interesting.
Can we put those on our website?
Yeah. Sure.
This is Denise Richards?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's her, Mike.
There she is.
So we'll have that up on the website.
That's an awkward position she's in.
You want to sell a product, you put that in your commercial. I guarantee everybody in America is talking about it the next day.
Very good.
Mike O'Mara for Vagine.
How you doing? For Vagine.com.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Hello. Did you check out YouTube's GoDaddy commercial that didn't air?
No.
No. What about it?
What about it, Sneaky Man?
What about it?
It's fantastic.
Is it the full version of the what's happening in the marketing department?
No, absolutely. It's a completely different ad. It's about 40 seconds, 30 seconds long, that supposedly was censored, and so they didn't let it go on the Super Bowl.
Can I tell you something, my friend?
You can.
You are too cool for school. You know what I'm saying, Fonzie? Hey.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
If only there were a jukebox here, you could simply hit it with your elbow, and it would play the top hit of the day.
Hey, caller.
Yeah.
Anybody ever call you sneaky?
Not so much.
Really? Do you sneak around? Do you?
Everything is sneaky up around Sneakyville.
Anybody ever tell you you sound a little like Charles Manson?
Charles Manson. Our good friend Charlie.
There he goes, man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to know what they thought about the Snickers commercial with the two mechanics.
Okay, first, they is we, and you are talking to us, so in a way, us is we, which is they.
Hello.
Hi, it's us, or as you called us, we, or they, and the answer would be yes, about 2 hours ago. Bye, dumbass.
I think he's gone already.
I believe he's still there.
Are you still there, caller?
Hi. Hold on. Is there... That line is still open. Oh, nope.
It's gone. I think we should point out again, we both enjoyed it. Because we both enjoyed it. Not because of the candy or the cleverness or all that crap. We enjoyed it because we both enjoy a man-on-man kiss.
That's right. That's how Mike and I started each show today.
A real one.
Today was with a hot dog.
Yeah. It's fun, really, when we just have one piece of long fettuccine in between us.
When we do Our Lady in the Tramp
thing. We do it the same way every time.
And stop us around Christmas time with the candy canes, for God's sake.
And mistletoe everywhere.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Good to talk to you guys. Radio guys. Long time listener.
Howdy. What's up, my friend?
Mike, I was wondering if you could give me some advice. We're going to Las Vegas for the first time, and if we were to go out there, where is my best shot to make some money?
Okay, you know where I think? There's this place called Nowhere. No, really, go out, have a good time, get as much free stuff as you can, but you will never win. Because in the end, they get it all.
The house always wins. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hey, I bet we got Chris Hansen on the phone. Hey, what's happening? You're on.
Who, me?
No, Chris Hansen, of course.
Would you like to wait for...
I ain't Chris Hansen's dad in Las Vegas. I called a couple weeks ago, told you the Colts was going to win. You said he was saying brother man.
I believe you, but I also thought the Colts would win. We have to go. Chris Hansen's on the phone.
We have a major NBC News correspondent on the line.
Now welcome to our Donna Mike hotline, Chris Hansen.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good afternoon.
Chris, great to have you back on. You know,
well, thanks for having me.
It's very rare that we're ahead of the curve, but we were a bit on your To Catch a Predator show.
Now you're right about that.
On NBC, and now you're a big friggin' deal, and the show is beyond belief fantastic and popular and doing good.
And truly amazing that it does continue, because there seems, I should say, unfortunately, to be an unlimited supply of these.
What do you got on tomorrow night's show?
Well,
8 o'clock.
This is our 8th investigation, and this time in Long Beach, California. And you'd think at some point, there would be a deterrent effect here. But
really,
in 3 days, we had 38 men show up at this house, and that's the second highest number we've ever seen. And this is our 8th investigation.
That's got to blow you away, and really... do you think that as long as you keep doing these shows, do you think eventually it's going to have an effect of calming these guys down a little bit, or having them go back under their rocks?
It sure hasn't happened so far. I mean, back when we first started this, we knew we had a compelling story, an important story. But I really thought, after the second, third one, I'd be kind of leaning on that kitchen counter like the Maytag repairman with nobody showing up.
And, right.
And that is not what happened. And I think it speaks to a couple things. I think it speaks to the fact that a lot of these guys just don't think it could ever happen to them. Dateline can't be everywhere. The law enforcement can't be everywhere. And I also think it speaks to the addiction and the compulsion that some of these guys develop online. And ultimately, this line between fantasy and reality gets blurred, and the only thing that'll satisfy them is the face-to-face meeting with young teen, and then, here they come knocking on our door.
They are sick bastards, and it's great that you're catching them. And I'm also surprised now that the show's become so popular and you have so many repeat offenders, that simply hearing your voice or seeing you doesn't make some of these guys
bolt through the door,
wig out right away.
Look, we get guys who actually talk about the show in their online chats, and they bring it up. And some of these guys, come in, and there's instant recognition, and it's almost like, oh, you're that guy, oh, this is that show, you want me to sit over there? And now, we're in the beginning where we had, a fair number of these guys just turn tail and run. I think because some of these guys have actually seen the show, they know that the police have been operating a parallel investigation, and they know what happens to people when they leave. So it makes them stay sometimes and want to talk because, you know, they know what's going
to
happen next.
You know, I don't even like to bring this up, but I have to because I have to ask you the question. I was watching one of the recent episodes where you had the guy that had a violent past as well. He looked like he was a little challenged and he had some problems, and he'd had a record of a violent offense as well, and you were... It seems to me that the more people that know this show, do you worry about, you know, your own backup when you're in that house? Because it seems to me that that would be a concern. You know, when I saw that the guy didn't want to leave the house, I personally was watching that. And I said, this could end up being kind of a dangerous situation.
This is a guy who had actually showed up at our Riverside County, California house in January of 2006. I confronted him. He left. He was arrested by police. And he was kind of a sad character, very honestly. We didn't know much about his background. We knew he had a graphic chat, but we had so many men show up there that he really didn't even surface in the show. There might have been a shot of him, but that he really wasn't one of the primary characters in that particular show from Riverside. Here we are 8 months later in Long Beach, California, and we see this guy, same screen name, chatting again. And he refers to not being able to show up on a Friday because he's got a court date stemming from the previous case. So he comes Saturday instead, and he walks in, and I said, you know, we've had this discussion before. And again, once you get a guy who comes a second time, and then coupled with that, we find out that he was convicted of an aggressive assault and served a year in prison. I mean, who knows what could happen in a house if this guy was alone with a child and it didn't go his way?
Let me ask you a serious question, because in a second I want to play you some of the tapes that we have from you on the show that we goof with people with the things that you're saying when you repeat stuff. But, you know, on one hand, that's funny. We like having you on the show because these are goddamn, really, like you say, predators that he'd been taking off the streets. At what point, how do you draw the line yourself? When you see this over and over again, are you desensitized to it to the point where you want to say to one of these guys one time when they come around the corner, you go like, oh, you again? You son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you control yourself, Chris, from being in the story and being a part of the story? Well, on the other hand, you know, these guys are creeps going after our kids.
Well, you know, I'm not there to administer justice, and I'm not there.
Don't you want to, though?
Well, here's what I want. What I want to do is really understand what brought these guys to this situation. I mean, you know, the justice is up to law enforcement and prosecutors and juries. I mean, that's not my job. My job is to be a reporter. And yes, while this is, you know, an enterprising story where we've, you know, taken things to perhaps, a different level in terms of involvement, you know, I grant you that. But, you know, my job is to understand these guys before they come in by very carefully going through the chat logs, which in and of itself can be kind of a creepy experience.
That's what I meant.
Things require a shower sometimes. But you know, when the guy's in, you know, I'm just trying to find out about this guy.
How much of this, and I know you have to cover the story, so you might not be able to answer this as far as your own opinion. Do you think that these reports, you're not going to stop these guys? I mean, it's infinite, in my opinion. You've got these creeps out there. But obviously, something has to be done with some sort of regulation on the Internet to prevent this. And do you think that these shows, when you see this, and when you see what a danger this is, you can warn kids so much, but if you've got this incredible access, do you think in some way that's going to be modified or regulated, or can it be? Is it possible?
Look, I've looked at more than 200 of these guys in the eye. And read way more transcripts than that, because you figure a lot of guys chat that don't show up for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come to the conclusion, this is my sincere belief, that no matter what we do, no matter what law enforcement does, there are a ton of great advocacy groups out there, ranging from Perverted Justice to many, many others. Your best line of defense is an open and honest conversation with your child.
Okay.
And say, look, this stuff goes on out there. And if you let people into your internet world who you don't know in the real world, you're asking for trouble. Just because somebody says they're a cute 14-year-old boy who lives in your neighborhood doesn't mean anything. He may not be 14, may not be cute, may not be a boy, and may not live in the neighborhood. He could be some guy sitting in his underwear in a basement someplace.
So the only way to really do it is to have a dialogue with your children.
But you do. And the other thing is, I think a lot of times parents say, look, you know, don't bring me bad news. You know, and kids afraid to tell their parents something was wrong. There was a solicitation. There was an inappropriate approach because they're worried that the parents are going to take away the Internet. And you have to get that out in the open right away and said, look, I'm not going to take it away from you. Look, I get that you need it, but I don't want you inviting strangers into your social networking site. And if something does happen, I want to know about it. And together, we will go to the internet service provider or the law enforcement agency nearest us, and we'll do something about it.
Okay. What a great show it is you have. We're very glad to promote it. Dateline to Catch a Predator, new episode tomorrow night on NBC. Before you go, I know that you're on a pretty tight schedule. If you can take a second out to pull yourself away from what it is that you do on that show.
And we've got several tapes out of context that we use with our evil
first
listeners.
First off, a lot of times we say, hey, Chris Hansen, how you doing?
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
And we say, like, hey, Chris, knock it off. That's not fun.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
But really the best part is when we have you talk to Dr. Phil.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
You're in a fog. You're in a haze. Your reasoning ability, your compass is way, way off here.
I'll be the one going to take off your clothes?
You are incredibly immature.
I'll just be your secret lover.
You are the rudest, most disrespectful a-hole I have ever met.
See, Chris, that's what we do.
You guys are bad.
I know.
Bad.
All right, Chris Hansen, your show is great.
Keep up the good work.
No
and
doubt
stay,
about
stay
it.
Stay safe, all right?
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
See you later, Chris.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye now.
To Catch a Predator, that's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, 7 Central on NBC.
It's funny when we just pull back the curtain of our little silly world.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Are you a drunk?
You know, you
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
What are you, a moron?
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
You go naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
Hold on a second. Now, let me. Hold on, here we go.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance, and welcome to Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials 2007.
Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Yes, both sides of the Donna Mike Show, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, well, that's Chris Hansen. His show's on tomorrow night. Does anybody know if it's on Against American Idol?
I do. They're both on for 1 hour at 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night, so they are on Against
and
each other.
And I did get
that's
creeped out. Dumbest with NBC.
I do worry about that guy because really the more people see the show, now that people are tracking with the show, they're going to know they're going to get busted outside.
Right.
And I just hope, I hope he stays safe, really, because I couldn't you see one of those weirdos being in there, hey, I'm not going outside, and because I know I'm going to go to jail. So
why he's armed, Mike.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
I was going to recommend that.
What was that, Tyra?
Kiss my fat ass!
Oh, she's upset.
Okay.
Oh, are you looking for another one?
If I remember correctly, they actually told us that they were looking for people who were feisty and had a personality. And
this is one of the poor boys from the Catch a Predator series.
If I remember correctly, they actually told us that they were looking for people who were feisty and had a personality. And they
is that Clay Aiken talking about the gay website? Is that what it is?
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
They're all joining us now. Everybody's coming by for a visit.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance, and welcome to Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials 2007.
Okay, enough. Stop that, please.
Stop it.
Stop it. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I learned if you're having an argument with someone, never attack them with your words. Like I always want to tell my girlfriend to shut up. But instead I say, what you're doing is making me feel like I want you to shut up.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They know how to use their faces properly.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here's a Super Bowl update for you. The guy that we had on the show last week, this whole I want to propose to my girlfriend thing.
Yeah, he's a little wormy little guy.
Well, back in the net center, which is what the TV stations call some dweeb sitting in front of a laptop.
Right, back in the net center.
Our dweeb, Johnny Norman, sitting in front of his laptop, says that the guy's website is now down.
Really? I heard a rumor he's fleeing to Mexico.
Down goes Frasier.
Ooh.
Interesting. So the guy, Yanni?
Hello? I didn't do it. I thought about it beforehand. Sorry.
I don't.
That was for you, Mike.
So the deal is that the guy's website has gone teats up?
Big time. About 1 o'clock it was there, and I checked when we were talking during that last segment, and it's gone. You get like a web redirect.
Are we still making every good faith effort to prosecute?
Absolutely.
Very good.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Johnny.
Thank you, GM.
Bye-bye. GM. I know we'll do some more Super Bowl talk here in a second. But there was something that caught my eye over the weekend.
One of the pretty kites in the pregame show?
Of course, Mike. No, but it is Super Bowl related.
Okay.
I was on the web on Sunday. I know, before the game. Sunday before the game, right? And I was on NFL.com. Just trying to find something. I'm not sure what it was. Don't applaud for that site.
Why? Because you weren't getting enough?
I don't know. It was something about the Hall of Fame. I wanted to know why, where Art Monk came out in the balloting for the Hall of Fame. Because he didn't make it, and I thought he should have made it.
Right.
So I was looking at the NFL.com, seeing if they had a list of the guys and what order they came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that it said, order here for your Super Bowl locker room merchandise.
Ah.
And this was at, 12 noon yesterday. They had order here for Chicago Bear World Champion shirts.
Okay.
Order here for Indianapolis Colts World Championship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had them both up on NFL.com at the same time.
Do you think if, you order Chicago Bear World Championship stuff and they don't win, they just cancel the order, or do you get it anyway?
Well, I found out. I found out because that's the type of guy that I am, and that's the type of time...
Did you call?
...that I have on my hands. Of course I did. Of course I did. I called and I said, I fancy myself a bit of a collector.
And good day to you, sir.
Regardless of which team wins, I sure would like to have a shirt or a hat saying that the opposite team won.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady on the other end of the phone was very nice and told me that the NFL takes all of the shirts for the losing team every year and distributes them in Africa.
Wow.
I am not kidding about that.
Wow.
I am not kidding.
Incredible. So you can go over to the continent of Africa and find Chicago Bears World Champion Super Bowl 41?
She said it was...
Demio Bibine.
She said it was some hunger thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it was, and she said,
can't eat a shirt.
They can't eat the shirt.
I know, but they donate the shirts every year, and they donate the hats.
That's incredible.
So I said to her, well, why do you have them both up on the web right now? And she said, well, because when the game is over, people will start ordering. And I said,
so you can order in advance.
Yes. I said, what if I was to order both a Colts and a Bears? I asked exactly what you said. And they said, well, we would send you a note back saying we can only send you the one for the team that won the game.
Did you do that? Did you order both?
No. What's the fun in that? I thought I had something. I was on the website going, today I could come in.
So you didn't want the world champion T-shirt from the Colts?
No, I just wanted a losing one.
A losing one.
Even if the Colts had lost, it would be fun to come in there and have
You'll have to take a plane to Nairobi to get that.
So anyway, that's
or wherever they're ending up.
That's what they do with all of that stuff.
Huh.
And as I was watching the game yesterday, you know, they keep going back in time to... Have you seen the thing on the NFL channel about America's game, the greatest Super Bowl team of all time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's biased about it. It's subjective as hell. How can you possibly grade... in my opinion, the greatest team of all time, the 60s Packers, against the 70s Steelers, or against the 80s 49ers,
mm-hmm.
or about the Redskins. And I think they ended up picking, what was it, the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated team?
They won how many in a row? I mean, didn't they have...
17 in a row.
17 in a row?
So they ended up being the number one team of all time on this NFL thing.
Sure.
And I was looking at the list, and I saw that my team, the Packers from the 60s, came in number six. Number six. For my team, with this guy.
I think the Kansas City team is a real top football team, and it doesn't compare with the National Football League teams. That's what you want me to say, I said it.
So let me see, it was the best teams of all time. It was the 72 Dolphins, then the 85 Bears, and then the 2007 Bears.
Oh, they're very good.
And then, no, I'm kidding, the Packers are fourth in there. Vince, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Is this thing on? How are you?
Wow.
Well, another Super Bowl is in the books.
Hats off go to the Baltimore Colts. Very happy for their performance.
I think the Kansas City team is a real.
Hey, what are you playing my tape for?
Doesn't
Christ
compare
sake.
With the National Football
Turn that
League
crap
team.
Off. You got the real deal. There's no need to play that silly machine that you've got in the background when I can sit here, have a perfectly good conversation with you. And first of all, I'd like to congratulate the winners, which I was in the process of doing that.
Baltimore Colts.
Not a good city, Miami. Tough team. Tough place to play football. Can't find a Chinaman anywhere to give you a good, clean undershirt. I'm very frustrated. I never could find good shorts.
Hey, Vince.
Boxer shorts or undershirts.
Yes. Do you want this sound?
Sure. You want me to be the Vince Lombardi ghost that you've known so well? Whoa! This is the ghost of Vince Lombardi. I tell you, I'm as real as a plate of Marie's liver and onions. It's great to be here with you, Don, Buzz, all your minions. And I'd like to say that the task at hand is important. You should always focus on the task at hand to make sure you do well. How about that game? I have several things that I'd like to say first and foremost.
Yes, Coach Lombardi.
First of all, I'd like to say that it was a pathetic game. Not hard-nosed football, not like football in the days of Forrest Gregg and the wonderful players that I had when I was a coach of the Green Bay Packers. I must tell you, I was very, very embarrassed that a man with the soft composite of Rex Grossman is able to play in that game. He's a wimp. He's a wuss. I have worse names for him. But the worst name I can call, I can call Rex Grossman is unprepared.
Oh.
He was completely unprepared. Do you hear me?
Uh-huh.
And a question for you, Don Geronimo.
Yes.
How's my breath? Someone said it smells like death. I'm not quite sure.
I heard a report.
Yeah, you heard a report.
I heard a report.
I'm here to refute any reports you may have heard. The reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. No, that's not true. I'm a spirit, a specter, a spook. That's exactly what I am. I'm floating here. You can actually put your hand right through my undershirt. And I've chosen not to wear a shirt and tie and a fedora hat because the fact is, Vince Lombardi is an apparition. He's a ghost from another world. I've come over from the other side to talk about football and all things NFL. I too brush my teeth 5 times daily. I couldn't stand floss. And that was very, very difficult after trying to eat Marie's calamari.
Sure.
There was no doubt. I didn't enjoy that.
I thought you never ate Marie's calamari.
I didn't.
That was part of the whole problem.
Hey, watch out. You know, she's still dead too. Just kidding. But first of all, let me just say I enjoyed the show, the spectacle that is the Super Bowl. And I'm very pleased that the NFL has grown and developed over the years.
Vince.
Very disappointed in certain elements, very pleased in others.
I heard that you, like me,
yes,
were not a fan of Cirque du Soleil. Is that true or false?
Oh, quite the contrary. I enjoyed Cirque du Soleil.
Huh.
I like seeing men in tights acrobatically jumping up into the air, waving around with their little colored flags that they had and all the people running back. I especially enjoyed the NFL referees riding the flamingos. And it was really large, muscular men with long legs that could actually create the illusion of having flamingo bodies. I thought that was delightful, and I also enjoy most Cirque du Soleil. I wish they had Cirque du Soleil instead of Bonham and Bailey when I was a young boy,
mm-hmm.
with clowns, elephants, and all the animals. I enjoy men in tights, and I've always enjoyed acrobats. As a matter of fact, Marie, when we were in New York, went to see Mary Martin in Peter Pan about 15 times.
Huh.
I never got tired, and of course, we discontinued that practice after I was informed that she was indeed a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a man playing the role.
Who do you think the cutest member of the Indianapolis Colts is?
You're going to have to help me because I've been dead for all these many years, Don. But I have to go with the punter for the Baltimore Colts.
Hunter Smith?
Is that his name?
Hunter the punter?
What amazed me was the fact that during that incredible rain bowl with the torrential rains falling down, and incidentally, it's delightful to see NFL players, modern age players, playing in those elements. I told my players that the task at hand is to prepare yourself for any element that God will throw at you. As a matter of fact, I lived in an element of fear my entire life when Marie would be very frustrated with me and occasionally throw a pot or a pan all the way across the kitchen floor right over the checkerboard counter.
Wow.
I was very frustrated. We lived in a traditional Italian home. And Marie would occasionally throw a rolling pin at me.
Sure.
Now, that's something you had to modify your behavior to.
Weren't you dressed like Super Mario back in the day?
As a matter of fact, I had a regular uniform that I would wear around the house to relax. And what it was a large pair of oversized corduroys with some suspenders that went over my tank top shirt and a big fuzzy cap. That's what I wore around the home. I don't care how warm it was either. I'd wear that cap, and I'll tell you, underneath that cap smelled like something truly bad. Marie's Italian sausage.
You were kind of enamored with the Hunter, Hunter Smith of the...
let me get back to that young boy.
Colts.
I enjoyed the way he was able to look good, and it's always important. I told my players, like Star, I remember Bob Star. Star came into my office one day and said, I don't feel like dressing up and wearing a tie to get on the team bus as we take one of our trips up to Chicago. Yeah. I said, Star, let me make this clear to you. You are representing the Green Bay Packers franchise. And when you get on that bus, you're going to be presentable. Now, some of these players aren't as easily dressed as you are. They're big, they're smelly, and they have to really work hard at it. You're a svelte young quarterback with a good set of buns. Put those pants on, wear the belt, tie the tie tight, and wear a shirt that's one size too small. And he agreed with me, and he looked fine. But getting back to that kicker for the Baltimore Colts, what was his name?
Hunter Smith.
Hunter Smith. Now, there's a man that does what I always told my players to do.
What's that?
Wear a uniform that's three sizes too tight, especially the pants.
Why do you want your players to wear pants that are too tight?
Well, you know that I wear a tie and a smart short-sleeved shirt no matter where I go, winter or summer. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that if you want a crisp line, which is very important, a crisp line in a football uniform or in a regular street clothes outfit is very important. And you get that crisp line by wearing your shirts too small. I understand your newsman has that practice. Don't you agree?
I agree.
If you want to look good and crisp and ready.
That's right.
Now, later in my years, of course, I developed the Lombardi beer gut.
Right.
Even though I didn't consume beer, I normally was just a glass of Chianti, man, and I would eat that with my liver at night when I would go home to see Marie. But I always told my players, you're athletes. Show your body.
Right.
Show your body, especially you young ones. Show your body to all the fans, because they want to see it. Look at this V-neck T-shirt. It's as tight as it can be.
Sure.
I've got to go now. Incidentally, great sweatshirt.
Did you like the Snickers commercial?
What?
Did you like the Snickers commercial?
Hold on a second. Do you want me to float back?
Float back.
I have to.
Do the backstroke.
You play that music. This is like swimming in the deep end of a pool.
Yeah. Did you like the Snickers commercial?
I like any commercial that shows men kissing. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, there he goes, everybody.
Coach Lombardi.
That's what you want me to say. I said it.
There he is.
Ah.
Vince Lombardi.
Who knew?
Oh, hold on a second. What happened to this thing?
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
There you go. Okay, Vince. He was kind of all over the place.
I hated it.
Oh, come on. I loved it.
I got on the bus for cold.
No way.
No way.
Vince Lombardi.
Wow.
Never knew that he had that strict address code.
Hunter the Panther.
For his players.
Hunter the Panther.
He enjoyed the look.
And that's another thing, getting back to the game, and I hate to go from goofy to, like, being sports guy serious again.
Well, you were on that website.
But when we were talking about the rain and the fact that they weren't mentioning anything about the rain.
Right. Did, for whatever reason, that made me nuts.
Mm-hmm. When they screwed up the field goal last night, when the guy screwed up the hold.
Right.
They said right away, oh, speaking of Hunter Smith, I think he's the holder.
Right.
They said, oh, bad hold by Hunter Smith.
It wasn't.
It was like, hold on, the guy's playing in a freaking monsoon.
And it really was the wet conditions. I don't know why they ignored that, but I guess we'll never really know until we talk to Nancy next year.
The wet balls. Hey, we should have. Hey, Vince, come back for 1 second. Vince?
It's not too late, is it? Can we still get him?
Oh, I'm over here. Jesus Christ, Geronimo.
What?
You sent me back to the afterworld, and now you want me to come back. Boy, I need frequent flyer miles for this much travel.
Whoa! What's your thought on wet balls?
Love them. Okay. Absolutely. That's why I'd have the earliest practices of any NFL team in the summer. Two-a-days, starting July 1st. That's when I had them for the Packers. They never bothered me. The wetter, the better. Wet with perspiration. That's the way I feel about it. I'd say, okay, boys, let's get those balls wet. Each and every day. And incidentally, this is how I'm holding my hands now, because you've got me in limbo going back and forth.
Floating.
But first, get yourself a good Packers T-shirt. That's the nice thing. I'm floating away now. Woo! Woo! Now I'm over here in the corner. Just floating above your head. Hi down there. How are you, Donnie? Hey, Don.
Yeah?
Did you order anything off the internet this weekend?
I did not.
I'd like to say that your fans can still get Vince Lombardi memorabilia from me. Lombardi! Woo! Yes, here I am in my Super Mario Brothers outfit. I'm over here in the corner, floating around. This is Vince Lombardi.
What was it like when you were in Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong was very, very fun. We'd chase all sorts of crazy things around the screen. Don't want to get run down by a big boulder.
Didn't you always have like a barrel full of beer chasing you?
Yes, yeah. A barrel full of beer running down the hill. But I'd jump up really high or really low. You have to either duck or jump above it.
And don't forget, if you jumped on the psychedelic mushroom, you got some sort of extra prize.
Yes, that's how you'd get your extra prizes. Score as many points as you can. Then get yourself a big pizza pie. A delicious, big, old, traditional Italian pizza pie. I don't want to talk about that, though. You know what I want to talk about?
What?
Wet balls! Woo! Wet Lombardi balls!
Happy Super Bowl.
We would serve those at Christmas time. Wet Lombardi balls. Nothing like them. Just a hint of garlic. Not too much basil, bitch.
He floated away again, sure did. Every time that music comes on, he comes back. I don't know what the deal is.
So we got to take a break, and he keeps floating back.
Yeah, good observation, Irish fat ass. Whoa! Hey, let me say, I'm Vince Lombardi. First, I'd like to say hi to Joe Ottinger, a real class act.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
That's Nance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Candy Striper. That's what I call him. He's a candy striper. But he's cute. He's real cute.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
You want to see a broadcaster, John Facenda.
Yeah.
Not that candy striper, Jim Nance. Pussy!
Have a seat.
Oh, hold on a second.
What are you playing on your machine?
I got John Facenda here somewhere. Hold on a second.
Now,
on January 15th, 1967,
yeah.
On a bright, clear day in the Los Angeles Coliseum.
L.A. Coliseum.
You ever get it on with this guy?
Sure, Facenda?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've seen his tonsils.
The big question which had troubled the football world for 7 years was answered.
Fantastic. I've known all the greats. Chris Schenkel. Kurt Gowdy. All the good ones.
You ever do
the original Jack Buck, not that candy-ass son of his.
You ever do Cosell?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a long summer in Crete.
Wow.
On Howard's boat.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about any of the floats.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I think what you're seeing here is that they're not just great black coaches. These are great football coaches.
I want to talk to you about some of the kind of the dark side, as it were, football, because this is this great success story that they developed.
Hey, the dark side.
Subsisting on a solid diet of quickie. Don and Mike.
Good to be with you, sir, and this trophy right here today will be in the hands, for the first time ever, an African-American coach will hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don's and Mike Show.
All right, thank you. Hey, we didn't have time for that. That's Jim Nance on Face the Nation.
Wow, pretty amazing stuff.
It's obviously the greatest trophy in the world from our standpoint, to see that kind of a collective achievement that you have.
Okay, all right, Nancy. Thank
but
you.
Face the Nation wasn't all fluff. They had other good bookings like Dan Marino.
Dan Marino with Don
Nance.
That's good.
When Nance was on the phone Friday,
yes.
And now I am remembering a little more of
is it coming back to you?
What the conversation was like.
I was unaware you were on the phone with him.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
The conversation was as follows. Somebody must have hipped him to the fact that we were doing an absinthe show. Because I do remember saying stuff like, I love you, you know, you're great, Nancy. And he said, guys, you've been imbibing today. So, yeah, come on, Super Bowl party. Can't be involved with it, guys.
Right.
Gotta stay above the fray.
Is that what he said?
I may have made a joke to him about the fray, the band.
The band, yeah.
That I think went
right. Of course.
Over his over
busy
his
guy. Listen, I'm looking at weather forecasts, trying to figure out whether I won't mention the rain.
But you know, think about how uptight she is, and I don't doubt the
fact.
Well,
she's under a lot of pressure, though.
She was already stressed out to the max, calling us the day before the game.
Right.
And imagine from her standpoint, you know, her handler says, hey, listen, honey. You know, ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, Jim, but Jim Nance wears Prada. Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, but those boys that you were fond of, Don and Mike, they are drunk as skunks today.
They are sloshed.
Hey, guys.
Got to stay above the fray.
You never know where it might lead, guys.
Right.
Talk to you another time.
Yeah, sorry, can't do it. And listen, straighten up. We'll chat. Bye.
Just remember,
don't care for it.
I did call, guys.
I did want to get a feather in my cap for that one.
So, folks, there is your matchup, the main event, Budweiser's Lamb Streaker versus Coke's Mean Joe Green. This year, it's the battle of the beverages.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Did you wash your ass today?
He didn't want to join our battle of the beverages.
No,
no,
he did not.
Our mean streets. Listen, can't play in your mean streets today.
All right, well, maybe Nancy will be on the show tomorrow. And we'll talk to her about the broadcast and about the rain and everything else. Also tomorrow on the show, don't go south on 24 yet. I know last week that I was leading the charge saying that, you know, the show has jumped the shark.
I may be giving it its last hurrah tonight. If I'm not impressed tonight, I might be bailing.
Tomorrow, Bill Buchanan will be on the show, whoever that guy is who plays.
Good. Oh, really?
The CTU guy.
Yeah, I like him.
James Morrison is his name.
James Morrison?
Or as I like to call him, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Jim Morrison will be on the show tomorrow. Boy, I hope he doesn't do it on what he did on stage in San Francisco. Pull out his schlong.
Right.
Would that be something?
Jim and we'll ask him if this is the end.
This is the end.
Is he's calling, well, obviously calling us from Los Angeles. Maybe we can ask him about his wife or girlfriend out there.
Who would that be, Mike?
His L.A. woman.
And of course... Well, now, listen, we can play the Doors game all day. When he calls her up, he says, you know, hello, I love you.
Tell me your name.
Touch me. Come on. Light my fire.
I like me the Doors. I'm out. I might be out.
That's the thing about L.A. People are strange.
Oh, good for you, Buzz.
Oh, Christ. You already had People Are Strange, mm-hmm. L.A. Woman. This is the end. Touch me. We already had touch me. Okay, Rob, go ahead.
He'll be calling from his boat, the Crystal Ship.
That's an obscure one.
No, that's a pretty upfront Doors song.
Doors fans, yeah.
I remember that one.
And if you want to go obscure, it's Show Me the Way to the Next Whiskey Bar.
Okay, see you later. You're the winner.
A song too far.
Way to go, Rob.
You're the winner. Taking us over the edge, Rob.
Yep. Yeah.
That almost sounded like Jingle Bells.
Isn't that where they do the off key organ, right?
Hey.
Show me the way to the next.
Love me two times.
Oh, good job.
That's the one I was trying to come up with.
That's it. Love me two times.
I
can't get enough Doors, in my opinion.
True. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, guys, this is Marshall calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just want to tell you, welcome back.
It's great to be back, my friend.
Thank you for calling us, Mr. Mathers. What can we do for you today?
How much? Take it easy, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
Bye. The Doors.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
Doors.
Stupid show. Stupid show. God.
Stupid show.
Yeah, aren't you glad the show's back, Albuquerque? Look what you missed out on.
Okay, there
you
go.
Not even.
Revolving door. James Morrison will be on the show tomorrow.
From 24.
Right. And he plays Buchanan.
Hideous.
Bill Buchanan. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I got two references. One is, how would you like to share a Snickers bar, and how about Riders on the Storm by the Doors?
Oh, Riders on the Storm!
Hold on, let me say Riders on the Storm. Rob, where's the prize for this guy? God damn it, we should have had long version, too, with the raindrops. Should have had it. Love that. My friends, congratulations.
Thank you.
The DVD grab bag.
Uh-huh.
Second season of Boston Legal and All the King's Men, among others. Happy viewing, as some tool wrote on this page for me. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
What are we, Exxon now?
Uh-huh.
Happy motoring.
Happy viewing.
I love
it. I wrote that.
Donna Mike Show.
Sorry, buddy.
Hello.
Hello.
Did the temperature get much higher?
Oh, my God. Everybody's killing us on the doors
come on,
stuff
baby,
today
light
now.
My fire.
Yeah.
The doors. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
What happened to Harry Potter?
Hey, tomorrow, dude. Did you hear our Vincent?
Harry Potter!
I'll get off the phone. We can't make everybody happy, can we, Mike?
Yeah, when a guy does a nude scene.
Hello, Don and Misha tomorrow. So I just didn't think it was quite right coming.
No.
We can't back that up with talking to Chris Hansen about catching predators and then do our whole Harry Potter, I'm naked and horny thing.
I wouldn't have felt comfortable.
Wouldn't be right. But a Vince Lombardi is gay thing.
Oh, of course. No problem at all.
That fits everywhere.
We're talking about Snickers bars.
Oh, that reminds me, we've not heard the horse video yet.
We haven't.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello there.
Hey, come on. Hello there. What's happening?
Hey, did you guys hear Nancy Boy last night when the Colts guy ran the interception back for a touchdown? And he said, "Welcome back to the hood."
Chirp, my mom's a whore.
There you go. Thank you, my friend.
Nicely played. Like it when they get that quickly.
You got it. Thank you. Chirp, my mom's a whore. All right, let's get to it. This was the entertainment for our Super Bowl show on Friday, our absinthe show. We never actually watched the video, listened to the video of horse relations.
And all I can think of is the creepy music that's in this thing. It's creepy.
Get ready to get turned on. Welcome to Turgid City.
Yeah, right.
Erotic City.
Of course.
My darling Nikki. Now, why didn't you do that one last night?
NFL with the life it
guys. Hey, guys. Where is this thing? Horse video. Hello.
They'd eventually meet Ken, who shares her sexual preference.
Oh, we need to grab a couple handfuls of that smaller stuff.
Okay.
I was technically a virgin until I was 29 years old. I was a zoophile up until then, and I just basically didn't have much interest in other members of my own species as far as a life bond or anything.
Right, you just was into horses.
A life bond. Yeah.
But when I met Ellie here, I just...
Ellie here.
Ellie's the horse?
Hello, Ellie.
It was the one person that I felt within a week, probably, after I met her. We're meant to be together.
Ellie's not a person, though. Ellie's a horse.
Or is Ellie a person that shares this fetish?
Ah, maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe you're right.
Come sit over here.
Ken and Ellie met through a Zoom friend on the internet.
Oh, you're right, Mike.
After a few weeks, they arranged their first date.
Well, the first night that he came up to visit me, I took him down to the barn to introduce him to some of my horses and some of the other horses that I enjoyed at the barn. And I took him in and introduced him to my miniature stallion.
Oh.
And kind of, I don't know if it was subconscious, kind of, I was very nervous and kind of wanted to do the shock factor, as it were.
Hey, guys,
yeah.
It's time for the news.
Oh, no.
Hello, I'm Mr. Reyes.
We will pick this up tomorrow.
That's a great tease.
Yeah. We really will pick this up tomorrow.
Yeah.
My miniature stallion was dropped in bedding when his was dropped, and he slaps it on his belly.
Well, as you can hear, it gets rather explicit. There's all kinds of beeps and bumps in it, so we'll hear it tomorrow.
I'd like to stay above the fray.
The entire horse video. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
The hot horse video. What's happening?
Not much. Hey, am I the only one that thinks Val Kilmer bears a strong resemblance to those cavemen in the new commercials?
I know that's kind of another Doors reference because he played Jim Morrison.
Right, he did. He was also Iceman in that great gay epic. What was the... was it not Days of Thunder? What was it? Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Iceman. He was Iceman in Top Gun.
And what else? God, what else was he... He was also...
Shut up! Too loud!
Real Genius.
He was great in Real Genius.
Hello, faggot. The movie's called Heat.
Ah.
Oh.
Maybe the greatest bank robber movie ever.
Where are you on Real Genius? You don't like Real Genius?
What, faggot? That's not a gay movie.
If you like it, you're gay.
No, you're wrong. Yes, you're wrong.
You
That's
are.
A funny movie.
No.
It's got Uncle Rico in it.
That's right.
What's it like, Mike? Being gay. I love Don and Mike's show.
What's going on, guys?
I don't really have anything against the movies, just because Boy likes it so much. Hello.
How's it going, Don?
Okay, and Mike, we're all here. What's happening? We got to go for the news. What's up?
I want to be your backdoor man.
Uh-huh. He was talking directly to you.
But everybody is still doing the whole doors thing.
Yeah, but I was just trying to distance myself from that comment.
No.
After your last comment. Not that there's anything wrong with any of it.
You're the ass lover.
He was talking to you, caller.
No, I was talking to you, Mike.
I know you were. I'm just joshing. Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
No way.
That's my response.
Buzz.
Yes.
It's time for the news and comments show. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Suck it all. Don and Mike.
Suck on that, losers.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be alive. That's funny, huh?
Yeah, I know. If I was there to you.
Okay, let's see. Hello, our brand new affiliate today, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Albuquerque.
Hi, Chewy. Listening on 96.3 FM, The Buzzard. Also, we're still on in Miami on 640 WMEN. And they called from Palm Springs, California. And they hate you dumbasses. We're running the show every night at 10 o'clock on KGAM. All of this will be on our website, which is getting a facelift this week.
Ah, very good. Over.
That is a much overdue facelift for our website this week.
Yeah, Albuquerque, because I looked at that website and went, give me a break!
And in fact, our website is so outdated, it still has the other station in Albuquerque from 6 years ago.
Wow.
No, I think we threw that one off, right?
We did this morning.
We did this morning.
Just in time.
So we'll have the website updated this week with the brand new affiliate list as
good.
Well. Now, here is Francis. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Well, after a successful halftime performance at the Super Bowl last night, Prince... he's off to get hip replacement surgery.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. Scheduled for later this month after years of dancing in Cuban heels. Tell me about it. Last night's Super Bowl, for some of us, an ad from a veterans group opposed to the president's escalation of the war in Iraq. The ad ran here in Washington, D.C., with a tagline targeting Republican Senator John Warner from Virginia. It was targeted at other Republicans in Maine and Minnesota. Among the veterans featured, one who'd lost a hand, using the phrase, on the other hand.
I saw this ad. It was great because this one veteran was eating a candy bar with the other veteran.
And they kissed, right?
Yes. And then they pulled out their pubic hair to indicate that they were real men.
I don't think that's going to sway Senator Warner.
And they slapped each other.
Right. And they were upset about their hair.
I forgot that you slurp John Warner.
I do slurp John Warner, yes.
Soldiers on the front.
That's the sound of it, too.
An odd sound.
How you doing, Bull?
Come on. Hey, how you doing? Come on, Bull.
Bull. How you doing, Bull?
That was Bull.
Hey, Bull.
He asked the Bull how it was doing.
How it was doing.
How you doing, Bull?
Unbelievable, the Bull said. Soldiers on the front line are also questioning the war.
Says Army Lieutenant Antonio Hardy in Baghdad. I think some people in America don't want to know about all this violence. People back home are shielded from it. They get it sugar-coated. Speaking of sugar, Jennifer Aniston had Keanu Reeves up to the house for a date one night last week. What's up with that? Listen, Milano, meanwhile, is apparently seeing Justin Timberlake, so why shouldn't the president ask for another $100 million this year for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Hey. Sexy bag. Hold on. How do you go from Justin Timberlake to next step?
Because if I did it all at once, it would be depressing, so I'm breaking it up with entertainment news.
A sexy bag. Well, let's just stop for a minute and talk about JT. That I find it incredible.
JT.
Out of this day and age.
Mm-hmm. you know, we live in a society that's splintered. With everybody's got a niche. You've got your podcast. You've got your MP3s. You've got your computer downloads.
Point, please.
He brings us all together, Mike. JT does.
Talking about Timberlake?
I'm talking about Jason Timberlake. Well, shut your mouth.
Justin Timberlake.
Jason's his horror movie brother.
I'm sorry, what
Jason,
I say?
Timberlake.
Jason Timberlake. Well,
Jason Timberlake's his brother that wears the hockey mask.
Screwed it up. Here's all I know, and it's been years since this has happened. There are a bunch of housefrows that live in my neighborhood, and the housefrows all went Friday night downtown D.C. to the Verizon Center to go see this boy. They didn't take their daughters. Some of them have daughters that are like Justin Timberlake age fans. No, these housefrows from my street all went together like they were going to the Hangar Club, like they were going to go see some guy pull out his junk in front of them.
Like they were going up to upstate New York to the Finger Lakes region.
He's super. So many people like him. He's so nice. He's so articulate. He's clean like Obama. You know, like Joe Biden said.
Sexy bag.
See, you mock me, but you know the song, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Because you can't go anywhere without hearing JT.
I know you can't.
He's super.
Well,
and you know, if we weren't drunk, we would have been at that show Friday night with all my neighbors.
Right. And, sober, we're right there.
And I don't remember it, but on the way home Friday night, I guess we passed a bunch of them in the car.
Oh, really?
You know, we were driving off our street, and they were leaving. Like,
all excited.
Where are you going? We're going to see Justin Timberlake!
It's going to take me the rest of the show to get over Prince having hip replacements.
I know. I know.
Any chance that I didn't feel a million years old was just wiped out.
Prince is probably not as old as we are. Probably.
I would say so. He certainly doesn't look it.
I think when Prince had his first song that I was aware of, the one, I Want to Be Yo, Love That, he was like 17 or 18 at the time,
was
maybe.
Was he that young?
I think so.
Okay, that's good.
How old is he, Buzz? Any idea?
I don't have his precise age, but I'd say he's 10 or 15 younger than you guys are.
So he must be as old as you.
Yeah,
you at least.
What that means? That means he's different. Different than you.
Yeah.
He's different than me.
La, 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 la.
Okay, there's that note.
He's younger than us, yet us, he would also be younger than you.
Wait.
Everyone's younger than you.
That's
Buzz.
Right.
Okay. Now, what about Bush?
In total, he's asking for a record $622 billion for the Pentagon. Don Henley of the Eagles also wants more money.
Dirty little secrets! Dirty little lies! You're funny. You just kind of throw that in. Like, oh yeah, Bush is doing this. Don Henley.
Yeah. Well, I thought you needed to know. Henley says he's okay with the deal that has an Eagles farewell concert DVD selling exclusively at Walmart.
The bubble-headed bleach bond comes on at 5.
The environmentalist says he's taken a lot of flack about the deal from all his hippie friends who hate Walmart.
Kick them when they're up. Kick them when they're down.
Quoting Henley, they can't be any more evil than a major record label. You can't.
You know, who's my favorite member of the Eagles?
No
kidding.
No, who?
Andy Reid.
Yeah. Andy Reid.
He's terrific.
The coach of the group.
I've always enjoyed him.
He's the guitarist, Buzz.
Oh. Guitarist coach.
How do you think his kids got all on H?
I didn't know.
They're the Eagles, dude.
Yeah, man, into the music.
Life in the fast lane.
Well, you can't exactly call Turner Broadcasting evil. After apologizing profusely, the network has offered to repay the city of Boston and the state of Massachusetts the $2 million they say they spent responding to a terrorism scare. The scare was started by an ad campaign for a cartoon on Turner's Cartoon Network, an ad that frightened Boston, but none of the other 9 cities with the same ad.
Terrorist scare on Cartoon Network.
The son of former actor Ryan O'Neill was probably also frightened, what with his dad waving a gun around like that. Police arrested the 1970s movie star on charges of assault with a deadly weapon.
Hey, nice mugshot, though, as opposed to Mel Gibson's. Really nice. I mean, Mel Gibson's is probably the prettiest celebrity mugshot I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Ryan O'Neill's today in the paper.
I did, too.
Looked like it could have been like a headshot if you want to hire him for a TV movie or something.
Not the first time at the rodeo, right, where he's, like, smacked his kids around?
Well, that Griff kind of needs it.
Yeah, Griff's kind of a wild kid. I mean, they had a thing in Annapolis right down here where I think it was it Francis Ford Coppola's son that was killed?
Yeah.
I think he was killed in a horrible boating accident.
And Griffin O'Neill was somehow involved in that.
He was driving the boat when it happened, accident.
I think.
I'm not sure.
The weapon was a gun, and at least one shot had been fired.
Hi, this is Wendell Hall. In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself. This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky?
Yeah.
Well, do you, punk? Good luck.
Hi.
O'Neill's would-be victims, apparently, were his son and the son's girlfriend. O'Neill's son, Griffin, is 42 years old, the girlfriend, 22. O'Neill himself is 65. Griffin is the son of O'Neill and the late actress Joanna Moore. O'Neill was also married once to 70s star Farrah Fawcett.
He would not try that with his other son.
No?
Shaquille.
No, I don't think he would.
Bravo.
So it's,
you know, it's easy, but I didn't see it coming. What's up, Doc?
Oh, man. It's,
What's up, Doc?
How you doing?
What's up, Doc?
How you doing? So really, it's two bits of good news for Farrah Fawcett today. One, that she's no longer married to Ryan O'Neill. And two, that she's apparently beaten the cancer.
You hear about the other son? What was that? What was that?
You hear about the other son?
What's up, Doc Dennis?
Merv Griffin O'Neill.
We don't know what kind of cancer, but Ryan once referred to it as anal cancer, being the charmer that he is.
Oh, no, she said that he said that Farrah Fawcett had butt cancer?
That's what he once said, anal cancer.
The worst kind.
Last year, Farrah had surgery and 6 weeks of radiation therapy. Her doctor says her prognosis is excellent. The young woman who graced so many boys' bedroom doors with her nipply poster is now 60 years old.
Isn't Ryan O'Neill...
All this news tonight is making me feel a million years old.
Isn't Ryan O'Neill, though... didn't I read in the tabloids that he's, like, on her side now that she had the problem?
He was very supportive of her, and he's been to the hospital.
Oh,
and
nice.
I think that he's been doing that.
They're still very good friends, then.
I think they are.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's what I had read as well.
But he's still, you know, taking shots at his son.
Apparently.
With a gun.
Speaking of old, it's official. David Lee Roth has officially rejoined Van Agen for a tour this summer.
What do you think? I'd say the password is disaster.
Yep.
It's and you know what I based that on? Do you remember when we went to see the dueling concerts of David Lee Roth? Do you remember what David Lee Roth looked like then?
I know. Here's the thing.
What?
Christ. I love Van Halen.
I know you're
But he's going to wear... He's going to come out, and he's going to try to wear those spandex outfits again.
I don't care.
And he's going to look like a clown. He's going to look like a homeless guy.
I don't. And I know Eddie is like, my God, Eddie looks like Popeye age coming out of rehab now. We've got his son there. We've got the other brother, the other weird-looking brother.
They kicked Michael Anthony out of the band to put Wolfie in the bass slot.
Right.
But even with all of that, I'll still go.
I know.
I'll still go.
If you have a chance.
It'll be their first time performing in public together since 85.
I won't go.
Three concerts. All right? You heard it here first. They will play three dates.
Rob thinks they'll play four.
I predicted four.
Rob, you predicted four?
Rob's just going to get me on four shows tops.
I think they'll go the whole summer.
And get there early because, you know, the handicap spots will fill up quick.
Eddie announced the tour on their website Friday. He says after one rehearsal it was, and I quote Eddie, pure magic. In this age of build-a-fence.
Oh, come on, Doubting Thomas. Maybe one time they'll pull it out. Wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great?
One time if Van Halen got together and they really did sound like the Van Halen that we all liked.
It would have been great if they rehired the guy they should have hired, which is Sammy Hagar.
Father, thank God, it is time to go on stage.
Okay, Wolfie. Sawyer has a great bass player, so you can play.
You are very drunk.
We've had this discussion many times. I'm with you. I like Van Hagar better than Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
But Sammy Hagar's had his problems with them. He's not getting back together.
You're right.
And think about, like, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that really a great, great album?
Yes, it is.
Sorry, David Lee Roth mm-hmm. is all over that freaking album.
Right. He is. I'm just talking about a guy, Sammy Hagar, who is age appropriate when he's on stage and he's not going to look like a clown.
I've got it bad. I've got it bad. I've got it bad. I'm hot
for the
teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
Panama.
Yep.
Come on and jump.
I'm rooting for him.
Jamie's crying.
I am rooting for him and I hope that he changes his act a little bit.
He got a bad deal from CBS Radio on that morning show. Why can't you root for the guy's success? He was only given 30 days on the radio.
Do you think Sheriff David Lee Roth actually counts as being an underdog now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I think that's probably why they bring him on tour. He's a registered EMT. Eddie might need him.
Paramedic, yeah.
He's a paramedic. Come on.
Sorry, I called him a sheriff. That's Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
The aforementioned.
What was up, Doc? The other day on VH1 Classic,
mm-hmm.
which is a joke, there's a channel called VH1 Classic, they were showing, because they show anything but classic,
right.
The David Lee Roth California Girls video.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't turn it off.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
With girls in bikinis.
As it got like 50 chicks just putting their legs in his face.
Mm-hmm. And
he's got the ice cream man hat on and everything. Yeah, good.
Classic.
Yeah. Who has the best?
They showed that today. It'd be the Mr. Burns video.
Excellent. Although, here's an update on Prince. Here's an update on Prince. Aaron in Wichita, Kansas. Hello, Aaron.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, I just want to let you know, USA Today had Prince at 48 years old.
48? That would
48?
Be my age and 1 year younger than...
One year older than me.
Wow. I thought he'd be younger than you guys, even.
So I don't know if he's... Do you think he has plastic surgery, or does he just... Is it genetic that he looks like he does?
That's just that is really not that old.
Thank you.
Well, no, but...
It's the new 38.
It's the new 38, right.
How about his Jackie O scarf that he had on last night?
Because
you couldn't call it a do-rag.
No.
He had it tied up like a faggot with the bow in front.
He's worn it before. Yeah.
And then at one
didn't
point,
work for him in the rain.
Yeah, he did. When he took it off, that's when he rocked.
Yeah, he threw it down.
Oh, and the other thing about Prince that I thought yesterday, when they put up that big bed sheet in front of him, and you saw the silhouette. Now, was it just me?
No.
I sound like Joe Faggot again.
It wasn't you. It wasn't just
when
you.
When he was standing to the side with his guitar in front of him, I mean, talk about milking your instrument. It looked to me like Prince had pulled it out.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. You know, I loved it. I had to run to the kitchen and get a Snickers bar.
The purple penis.
I loved it.
Who has the best coffee?
When we return.
Oh, thank you, bud.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know something?
What?
No, but... I had a
scene
last night.
The stars of Quest for Fire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So we've never heard the rest of that sexual awareness video from the 50s.
True.
Especially the background music. I want to get a copy of that.
Oh, no, you're thinking about the horse video, Mike.
Oh, what were you talking about?
This one.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
They're not part of the same series?
No. And there's a third one. There's a third one about censorship that we've not played yet.
Wow.
So we've got the horse relations video.
Right.
We've got the blank dream video.
Uh-huh.
And we've got the censorship video to watch at some point on the show.
That is a lot of stuff.
Because you can say horse and you can say sex.
Uh-huh.
You can't say them together. You can say dream and you can say wet, but you can't say them together.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
And what's the problem with the other one, boy? Is there a problem with the other one?
What's the other one?
Well, what's the third dumb tape we have?
Oh, no, that's clear. The one about pornography and censorship of pornography?
Yes.
That's fine.
You can say wet horse.
Yes, all you want.
Mm-hmm. And you can say sex dream.
Dream sex.
Sure can.
Thank you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In this age of build a fence and say no to terrorism, should we all have a national driver's license, making it harder for the bad guys to use fake IDs?
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, why not?
The federal government says yes. More and more states are saying no. Maine, Georgia, Wyoming, Montana, New Mexico, Vermont, and Washington State have already spoken up against the idea.
Well, I hate to speak out of school again, New Mexico, first day back. Hey, listen, it's our rules. You know what I'm saying? It's America. Do what the majority wants.
And anger. The states object for two reasons. One, it'll cost $11 billion. And two, that whole privacy thing. Seems there's some annoying law that forbids the federal government from keeping a database on innocent citizens. And in case you missed
like they're not watching us anyway.
Right.
I mean, really, seriously.
You won't give up.
What is the difference between a driver's license that says the state you live in and a card with your picture that says
none.
Citizen of the United States of America?
No difference. Right.
There you go.
It's like a passport. In case you missed it, Consumer Reports has...
And remember, you can't spell passport without ass.
That's right.
Yeah? Otherwise, it'd be a purport.
That'd be worthless.
Thank you.
In case you missed it, Consumer Reports has declared McDonald's coffee is better than Starbucks. Well, not better, just not as bad. The magazine conducted taste tests using coffee from Mickey D's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, and Starbucks.
You know what I had over the weekend?
What?
I had that Dunkin' Donuts white chocolate.
Yeah?
White hot chocolate.
How was it?
Great. Just like sugar water.
They used coffee from these four stores, and all of it served medium black. The testers agreed.
And that would you like, Rob, a nice medium black? Or you like a well-done black?
I don't want to swing my nose.
Oh, hey, good. Progress.
Hey, look at that.
Progress.
I'll swing it later.
Yes.
But swing it for me privately.
Right now. I'll call you.
We'll talk about how you like your black.
That's right.
The testers agreed the McDonald's coffee had nothing special about it, but lacked some of the burnt and bitter taste they'd noticed in the Starbucks coffee.
In Seattle, coffee always tastes better at a place called Cowgirls Espresso.
Hello. That's right, Buzz.
There, the waitresses wear baby doll negligees and other fetish favorites. A place called Best Friend has theme days. The sexy secretary, the naughty schoolgirl. According one local coffee drinker, if I'm going to pay $4 for a cup of coffee, I'm not going to get served by a guy.
You know, I say when I want my coffee.
I get a month for
cold. It's also someplace you're not going to take the kids.
Here's your latte, sir.
This is not for kids.
What?
Candy bars. That, my friend, is a strictly grown-up item, or at least it will be someday. After all the talk of childhood obesity, the makers of Snickers, Mars bars, M&M's, Skittles, Milky Way, Kudos, Starburst, Twix, Combos, and Three
Why are you applauding?
Tears.
He's a flossy childhood obesity.
So you know what he applauds.
And neither one of your kids are, both of your kids are, well, like all kids, they're wiry because they run around all the time. So are you applauding for yourself?
Well, no, I am applauding childhood obesity because that's us saying stick it to the people that don't eat enough worldwide. Like the hunger countries, we got fat kids.
Yeah,
there.
They have Super Bowl shirts. The maker of Snickers.
Yes, Jesus, there's no hope for you.
Maker of Snickers says it'll stop marketing to kids. Master Foods,
right,
which now sounds more sinister than I'm sure they intended, says it will only target the over 12 crowd from now on. Bear in mind, earlier generations were not made fat by a bombardment of junk food advertising.
You know, please. Yeah. Really, please.
I mean, Chad, what's it matter? Kids are going to eat candy, for God's sake.
God damn it. Next thing you know, you won't even be able to say that unless some judge intervenes with his activism nonsense about the Constitution. In Detroit, Thomas Leonard was arrested 5 years ago for saying "God damn it" in a public meeting. He was addressing the township board, and he was pretty damned angry. He believed the board was cheating his family, and that, he said, is why you're in a goddamn lawsuit. They immediately slapped the cuffs on him. They let him go about an hour later, but now Tom has sued the bastards for violating his right to free speech. And goddamn if the judge didn't agree.
Well, all I know is it's getting hot in here. We better take off all our clothes.
Ooh, yeah, let's do.
Buzz, watch it with a potty mouth. Eh?
Sorry. Dear, if there's ever anything bothering you, just keep it inside, okay? No yelling, no arguing. Just bottle up your anger like a 1950s housewife.
Reject a woman and she will never let it go. Yeah. One of the many defects of their kind.
That's what you should
also
do.
Also weak arms.
That's what you should do if you want to avoid heart disease. That's the conclusion of some male doctors at the University of Health Science in Bethesda, Maryland. They say women who vent anger regularly are more likely to develop blocked arteries than women who avoid arguments and suppress their anger. Now, ladies, you'd be surprised what you can do with all that pent-up energy.
Shut up, Fabio.
And if Michael O'Mara keeps using women's deodorant, his breasts might get bigger. A new study says lavender...
They can't get any bigger than they are now.
Impossible.
New study says lavender and tea tree oils used in some women's toiletries can sometimes give boys boobs.
Oh, jeez.
The study says those two ingredients found in soaps, lotions, and shampoos...
I really don't want them to get any bigger.
...can cause gynecomastia in boys ages 4 through 10. The extra growth went away when they stopped using whatever mom picked up at the store.
I have seen gross. That is gross.
That is.
What?
Mike nursing himself.
I'm not. You're making it sound like I really can. just because I'm trying to, but there's no way. They're not okay. That big.
How far did you get?
Now that's hot.
You're that far away.
If I'm able to do that, I'm. You know what? I'll tell you what.
How far is that, Rob?
That's about 3.5 inches.
I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
When my tongue can touch my nipple, I'll switch deodorants.
Thank you. The boys... Oh, researchers say lavender and tea tree oils are processed by the body like estrogen, the female hormone.
You're 3 inches away, Mike.
Three inches away. All right. Hey, I say August.
Stick your tongue out. Let's see.
Yeah.
You can... Oh,
this
my
is
God.
A fluffy He's a sweater.
Fang.
It's a fluffy sweater. I'm almost becoming like my friend Tubby Boots. That was the big finale of his act, is he pretended he had women's breasts.
The boys in the study got as large as pubescent girls while using these products. One of the boys even reported it as painful.
You don't look at it. Look what he's doing.
I saw that earlier.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering whether, you know, I should just stop that stuff. Maybe I'll try. I'm almost out of the satin breeze.
If it doesn't contain lavender or tea tree oils, you're probably okay.
Tea tree oils.
Sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
In sports, we never seem to run out of stories about what high school coaches will do to motivate their players. Up in Maine a couple of weeks ago, it was halftime at a big game for Levitt High. In the locker room, the coach told his players to check their manhood before returning to the court.
Yep, you go ahead and check your manhood before you get out of that court because you're looking like a bunch of women.
In fact, he ordered his players to leave.
Ouch. We can't respect you, Gloucesterman fisherman, because you're nursing yourself.
Well, by golly, you better respect me or I'm going to give you all a case of women's deodorant.
Coach ordered
you're naked under that yellow slicker.
That's right. When you can touch your tongue on this, then you can be a real man. Oop, there's a hair on my tongue.
The coach ordered his players to literally reach their hands into their pants for some evaluating, since the game was, quote, about who has the biggest blank in town. All but one of the players obeyed. For that, the coach, who cites Bob Knight as his role model, has now been fired. When asked if the manhood check was appropriate, he replied, "We won." I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, hold on a second.
We already heard that one. I was just thinking about what Buzz was just saying.
No.
And the dog's out!
No. My God, is there anything better on this tape at all?
Oh, yes, there is.
God!
Thank you. Can I just say thank you?
We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
No music tonight. We're dry. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And head.
If you like, I will repeat it. Better yet, I'll let you eat it.
Law!
This is the Don and Mike Show.